Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. It's the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and of course, you can see this gorgeous face in front of me. I've got Alex Coe. Yeah!
Welcome, mate. Thank you very much for having me, mate. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this.
Oh, mate, I'm very much looking forward to this. I am very excited to talk to you because I think even though we saw so much of you, so many confessionals, your game is probably the most illustrated game, like not illustrated game, out of everyone. So I am very excited to see what you were thinking, what you were doing, how you felt while you were doing it. It'll be a lot of fun. But I just want to kick us off with, mate, what's your history with Survivor?
My history with Survivor. So I watched it a little bit as a kid growing up, but like not religiously. And then early last year, like January last year, my mate invited me down to Kilimanjaro to hike Kilimanjaro together.
Can I get the mate's name, please?
His name was Hirsch, actually.
Oh, okay.
His name was Hirsch, and it was his 30th birthday. And then when we got there, he was like, oh, we've got a whole bunch of other blokes coming. And one of them was Mr. Lockie Gilbert. So I didn't know Lockie at all. And he just rocked up in Africa. We went to a safari. The very first day I ever met him, we were in a safari in Africa. And just getting to know him and stuff like that. Spent 8 days on the mountain climbing Kilimanjaro. And obviously came pretty close. When you're sitting on the mountain and stuff, you share some stories. And I heard a heap from Survivor, his two seasons. And by the end of the trip, he was like, man, you should apply. So I made my application video right at the top of Kilimanjaro. And then as soon as the applications came live, I submitted it, and that was that.
They wanted you. They wanted you. It's the face. It's this jawline. It's beautiful.
That's what it is, mate. I think also what really did help was when I got through the first stage, like the Kilimanjaro application video, they loved it, and then they asked for an interview, and then had the interview, and before the interview, they asked for a headshot. Yeah. And on that headshot, I did it with my shirt off. Because I had the tattoo that says Survivor there. Yeah. And then that obviously sparked a lot of interest as well, I think. So they probably would have gone, oh, what the hell is that? And then we got through the next round, I guess. So, yeah, that was a little sneaky move that I did, but I think it worked out well for me.
No, that worked out very, very well. And we're so glad you did it because otherwise we wouldn't have seen your story.
I'm very glad, mate. I really am.
Dude, okay. So when you were up there and you're thinking about applying, did you sort of understand what you were getting into? Because obviously, as you said, you only sort of watched it when you were a bit younger. You hadn't really watched it in a while. So
yeah, I definitely didn't, if I'm honest. Like I sort of knew what it was, and obviously Lockie had shared some stories, but I still didn't even like understand the entire game. I couldn't tell you when, like how long it was going to be until merge, or like I couldn't tell you I just completely forgotten about the whole jury thing and all that. I was like literally like starting from scratch. And then as soon as I got the call from one of the producers saying, like, can we have you in front of you? Me and my girlfriend, we just sat down. We were just like watching episode after episode after episode. Like we just started binging it. So that was really cool. But you can't, like, it's one thing to watch the show. And you, like, I certainly had the mentality. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I get this now. Like, this is easy, man. Like, you just got to, you know, lie to some people, manipulate some people. It's easy. But the thing is, like, there's so many levels to each plan. And that was just what I didn't quite grasp in the game. But, yeah, we binged it for a little bit. But I certainly wasn't, like, the Edens or the Eileens of the group who... Super fans.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Can I ask what seasons you binged?
Yeah, I watched the All-Star season because I wanted to watch Lockie. Yeah. And I loved Dave. Like, I was, me and my girlfriend were both like, fuck, how good is this guy, eh? Like, I just want to play exactly like this guy did. That'll be easy, man. I'll just figure it out. Like, it's just like him. And then I watched the Heroes vs. Villains. And I watched a little bit of the George and Simon's first season, which was
Brains vs. Brawn.
I watched a little bit at the start, but never finished it. But yeah, Heroes and Villains was just epic, man. And I guess once I'd watched that one, it was a little bit different to All-Stars. So I was like, okay, this is probably what it's going to more be like now. Yeah. Like, this is how I should try and tailor my game. And the things I took away from that was like, probably one is just like entertainment. You just have to be entertaining on this game. Yeah. If you're not, like, people won't, like, see the threat, you won't keep you around and things like that. So, yeah, my mentality coming in was like, all right, I just have to be doing stuff. I have to be entertaining. I have to be trying things. And if they don't come off, well, bad luck.
Bad luck. Yeah. Well, I can definitely say, like David, you were entertaining as fucking confessionals, man. Like you killed it. Like, let's get things a bit spicy. Like, yeah. It was awesome, man. Like you very much brought the entertainment value. And like, let's be serious. It's more fun to watch people sort of fail than to do the right thing.
Exactly. So I threw a challenge in the first one. Like, we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will definitely get to that. Okay, well, you already answered a few of my questions. I'd love to ask a bit more about the tattoo, about your mum, and just tell me the backstory on that again for everyone.
So it's about 8 years, 8.5 years ago now. I was working at Big W at the time, actually, and I was on my break, and I got a call from my brother, and he told me that mum's got breast cancer, and it just like shook my world, man. Like it was just turned everything upside down. We went from routine, you know, it was like school and footy and stuff and study. And then it was just like, all right, now mum's doing chemo radiation. We need to, you know, help her. Like it people sort of think that breast cancer affects like the person, and it does. Definitely it does. But it affects a family like as much as it does that person. We were, and seeing a loved one so close to you that's just like in so much pain and agony all the time, it was just brutal, man. And so then obviously it took about a year and a half to sort of clear mum up, and thank God, touch wood, that she's all good now. She's been clear for a good 6 years now, I think, which is really good. But then I went to, well, I actually was sitting down with mum. I'd always wanted to travel, but like I, you know, as a kid in Australia and Perth, so isolated and stuff. So it didn't really eventuate. Then mum said to me one day, it was like, Alex, if you don't do what you want to do today, like I'll never forgive myself if this happens to you. So I remember sitting around the dinner table and she says that to me. And I think it was like a week later that I booked my flight to Europe for like a 6 week vacation. And that's when my whole travel journey sort of started, and I haven't really stopped ever since, if I'm honest. But then, yeah, that was when I got back. Sorry, no, in Amsterdam is when I got the tattoo. So on my Europe trip, I wanted to sort of show mum how much it meant to me. And then I got the tattoo. It says mum in pink ribbon and then survivor underneath. So I guess call it destiny, mate. Like it was funny that word that I chose to put on my chest later in life, 8 years, probably helped me get onto the show and had this incredible experience with these guys. So that's mum. And then at the moment is really tough time for my auntie. She's terminal. So we're just working through that, but it's really affecting her life and my uncle's life as well. It's really hard to see, but this deep dive is definitely not about that, so we'll move on.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's not about that, but is there anywhere that you'd like people to just support? Like, is there anywhere that people can send their support?
Yeah, that's nice. I'm donating like half of my proceeds on Cameo to the McGrath Foundation, which is helping like put breast care nurses into families that are suffering from breast cancer. So if anyone wants to book a video from me, it can be to anyone, loved ones, anyone that's struggling, or birthdays, whatever it may be. Half of that is going towards breast cancer. So I'd really appreciate that. And thank you very much for bringing that up, mate. I super appreciate that. Thanks. No, always trying to help out, man.
Yeah. Well, the McGrath...
I don't know if you know, actually. I'll say this as well. The fight that I had in London, if you saw my intro,
yeah.
So that fight was all for breast cancer as well. It was like an 8-week program. Yeah. We had like... You know, you had to sell tickets, you had to like do fundraising events and stuff, and then you fight at the end of it against someone with equal ability. And then all the money raised from that entire event goes towards breast cancer. So constantly trying to do little things to just help a cause that I guess has affected my life personally.
That's so sick, man. Good on you. And like we're just thankful that you can share this story with us. Like seriously. It was very moving when we got to the chance to hear about it. We only heard it in sort of small doses over the season and stuff. Yeah. And obviously seeing that tattoo and wondering about it and then hearing about it was so cool. So we really appreciate it. And it's cool that you were doing this on a TV show and being able to get it out. And as you said, like the McGrath Foundation's a huge foundation and it's such a good one for this exact cause. So good on you. And the fighting, like that's even cooler. I didn't realize that. I've done quite a bit of research in here, but I didn't realize that was for charity completely.
Yeah, it was all for charity. I was actually the top fundraiser of that event. There was like 60 blokes or something, and I was fundraising the most money, so I was really happy about that. That was probably more important than actually winning the fight, but That was a great experience in London. Really enjoyed that.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about you. And obviously, let's talk about sort of leading up to the game. So you're going through casting. It's looking good for you. And you're starting to think you're actually on the show, or you're coming up to being on the show. You've binged 2.5 seasons. What else have you done to sort of get yourself ready? You've doubled the gym membership. What have you done? Anything. Come on. Drunk less beer.
My girlfriend's sitting across the room. She can actually hear this whole thing and she's laughing because, like, I literally did nothing else. That was it, man. I was already in good shape. I wasn't worried about, like, you know, I'd slept in ridiculous tents in Killy and stuff. So I wasn't actually worried about the elements. I was just thinking, like, how do I win this fucking game, man? That was all I was trying to do, right? So I was just binging. I did end up buying a bunch of, like, what I thought was Tinder to try and, like, do a fire and a flint, but, like, it just didn't work. And I was like, I'll just figure that out when I get there, man. I'll be fine. If I ever go to fire, I'll be fine. I'll just figure it out. So I didn't really do much else, man. I'm not gonna lie. The gym membership stayed the same, but, like, yeah, no, there wasn't any extra training apart from binging. And I kept telling myself, I was like, oh yeah, well, you know, if I get to lay in bed and watch Netflix, or not Netflix, sorry, get to lay in bed and watch Survivor, that's my training. Brilliant. It was just such an excuse to sit
in bed and watch Survivor. That's sick. Yeah.
That was my study. But I was actually, leading up to it, we were living in Bali at the time. We spent about a month there. And there was one day where I just, like, I did all my interviews online. And then there was one day where I was just like, they said, you need to get all the medicals done now. You need to get everything sorted. So I'd have jumped on a flight, like, the next day, went to Perth and just got all my stuff done. But yeah, I was in Bali for about 3 or 4 weeks before that. So that was a bit of a shock because May was just sort of left in Bali. Like, what do I do? Then she came down to Perth about a week later. But yeah, it was just, like, so quick, man. Everything happened so quick with the application process.
Yeah. But who knows, if you actually did, like, maybe 2 gym memberships a day, you might have beaten Rihanna.
Don't dare say that, man. Don't you dare. What I should have been doing is bloody standing on some small spikes or something. Yeah. I should have been doing.
That was definitely the common theme of this season, wasn't it? Those spikes, they were everywhere.
God, that last challenge, though, man, looked brutal.
Yeah.
Embarrassed you very well in that one. Yeah,
definitely. All right, well, we'll definitely get to that eventually, even though obviously you don't see that. But that's really cool. So you were away for so long, and what were you worried about missing? What were the sort of the big things that, like, obviously your girlfriend, that's a big one. We've got to say that because she's here. So obviously your girlfriend, were there any other sort of things, like, how were your work commitments? What was going on there? Like, what were you leaving behind?
I was doing relief teaching. So I was always going to give that up for doing this. Like, it was definitely the priority. It was going to be sad missing May, but the biggest thing, man, was going to be food. I'm telling you right now, leading into it, I was always going to be missing May, but, like, I was thinking, fuck, I'm going to be hungry, man. I'm going to be starving. Like, this is going to be the one thing. It wasn't until I was in the game, probably about 10 days time in, and we'll get to that, where it really turned from food to May. Like, the loved ones really started to affect me more than the food. And you get to the, well, we'll get there later, but, like, when the letters come at the auction and stuff, like, I was just craving some love, man. I really was. Like, the food, I sort of, your body adapts to the beans and rice, your body adapts to the small portions, but what I needed was love. And I just didn't expect it to hit me as hard as it did. Yeah, in the game.
Definitely. Just having someone that you can trust wholly, whereas you can't trust anyone out there. And I don't get it, but I can understand that would have been crazy, man.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, every single thing that you say can be somehow used against you or whatever. So, like, you really, like, I mean, unless you build, like, a relationship, I think, like, Ferris and Ray had, there's so much stuff that you try and keep close to your heart, I guess, because that could be seen as weakness, whatever it may be. But yeah, it's taxing, very taxing on the mind more than anything.
Definitely. Okay, how'd you sleep the night before?
I actually slept pretty good, I'm not gonna lie.
A boring answer. You weren't nervous, mate.
I was very nervous. What I did, because, like, you're obviously so nervous leading into it, but what I did was I'm sure you know that you get put in a hotel beforehand, and you no phones, there's no nothing, right? So you're constantly thinking about the game all the time. And the only way that I could sort of like disconnect it in any way was just to work out. And I did the biggest workout. They didn't tell you exactly when you're going into the game. So they just tell you, oh, you're gonna be in a couple of days' time, a couple of days' time, a couple of days' time. So I was like, okay, I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. I did a couple of little workouts to start. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do a really, really big workout. And I did like an hour massive workout in my room, and I was cooked. And then I like went to bed and I just knocked
Slept like
out.
a baby.
And then we were up super early to go. And I was like, all right, sweet, let's go. And then I was just into it. So admittedly, I was super nervous. Like everyone is, there's just no doubt.
Definitely.
But like it worked out good timing that I just did this big workout and then I was, yeah, ready to
Straight in.
go.
That's
Sorry, boring answer.
perfect. No. That's
Sorry,
a
I'll
great
lie to you
answer.
though.
That's actually
Whatsoever.
a great answer, man. Like seriously, like it worked out so well for you, and it gave you sort of the best chance of the game. Whereas I'm sure that we asked that same question to a lot of other people, and they were overthinking everything on the way into the game because obviously, but at this stage, they're like you've seen all the other people's faces over the time there, and you've sort of sussed it out. You've been able to make eye contact to a certain extent. So there's all this overthinking, but you haven't actually talked. You haven't met anyone. So you're sort of all of this is just running through,
Yeah.
and I would
And
hate to be in that situation.
I'd done the same as Mark. I don't know if you saw Mark's
Yeah,
thing.
I
I
did.
drew out like and wrote what names for everyone and stuff. I didn't like I don't know how he got a photo of it because we weren't allowed the phones there. So I'm not sure how he's got that. He must have asked someone. But yeah, I've done the same thing. Suit jacket, nerdy guy, weird guy. That was Ray. I still love Ray. Like there was just like so many Yeah, you do all that, and then you constantly think, "Oh yeah, I might align with this person, I might align with that person," and it is so much overthinking. And what fans probably don't see is that there's just so much time. Like I said it in my post when I got out of the game. I said like one of the things that I learned is that we spend so much time on our phones, laptops, and with distractions. You don't get any distractions there, man, for well over a month that I was there, and that just your day gets so much longer, so much longer. And all that time you're in your own mind, your own thoughts, especially those first 6 days, 6 or 7 days, whatever it was, where you're not talking to another soul, you've got your chaperone and stuff. But like, oh man, they give you cabin fever for a reason, I guess, because then when you get out there, everyone's just fucking like this, trying to talk. And I certainly went out there playing a little too hard at the start, I think. So it worked on me, bastards.
Well, yeah, like they've been doing this for a while. They know how to
I
get
know
you.
what to do.
They know what to do. They know what to how to get you. Can I ask, from sort of your initial viewings of other people? I'm not sure if you actually heard them speak or anything like that over the time. I'm not sure exactly what happens out there, but you've seen these people. Who were sort of the people that sort of stuck out? And did you know if they were Titans or Rebels?
Yeah, you can know, you know whether they're Titans or Rebels because they're all wearing colors. So everyone was in pink colors because you're all in your day one outfits. So you can tell who was who. And who stuck out? Oh, that's a good question. I think initially, which is we end up landing together, was Tobias. Like it was just like sort of like kind of like another alpha guy that, you know, he seemed like someone that I'd bond with pretty quickly. So that's sort of who stuck out for me. I don't know if I say this, but there was the boats that we did the promo film for the
No,
boats.
you looking over, just yeah, that was
Yeah.
awesome. That was great.
Such a good shot. We were on those boats for so long, by the way.
Far
Oh my
out.
God, those little tiny boats. It's getting so seasick out there. But yeah, I think I was on my boat. We had Kirby and Garrick. So Garrick and I were, you know, locking the eyes and like trying to feel each other out a little bit. I think even Kirby and I had a little whisper to each other at some point when had our heads out. So they're the sort of people that, you know, sort of thought I might align with at the start. But the game just, once it starts, it's just game on. Oh, little funny story though, do you have where I got to Brisbane Airport and you're with like two of the other contestants, but the chaperones go, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this or not. But we were sitting down at the terminal, ready to get on the plane, and I whip out my chicken crimpy shapes that I had in my backpack. And there's two other people. I was with Rihanna, Scott, and one other. I can't remember who else it was. There was four of us actually. And then as I pulled out my chicken crimpies, Rihanna sitting across from me, don't know her name, don't know anything about it. She also pulled out the chicken crimpies. I was like, ah! Alliance.
The Crimpy Alliance. That's sick.
Yeah, the Crimpy Alliance. It would have been actually amazing if we had landed it. But it wasn't until, like, I think day 13 or something that we actually thought, oh, yeah, remember the chick? Because 6 days had passed. We just completely forgot about it. And then we were so excited about the game. Yeah. But I wish we had actually started the Crimpy Alliance. That would have been amazing.
It's sick. That's awesome. So, well, it's cool that you sort of had sort of like that sort of vibe from everyone. But as you said, as soon as the game starts, it's go, go, go. And you just merge with who you merge with. Like, it's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I started chatting with Tobias at the start. And then I remember one thing. I don't know if we can get into this yet, but one thing, I think it was day one, Tobias comes up and he's like, oh, you know that, like, that Kelly girl? I think she really knows how to play this game. And I was like, oh, yeah, really? Okay. All right. Well, maybe we get here. And then the more I started talking to her, I was just like, nah, this can't be right. Where did you get this information from? Oh, because, you know, I must have just, like, found something that he liked from her or something. But
This chick's strategic. Didn't you hear? She's strategic. And as we saw going out.
Oh God,
that's sick. Well, let's start talking about the game. Let's talk about those first moments where you are on the beach, you're on your mat, you're in your tribes, and that feeling like it's about to start, it's about to kick off, you're about to start running for fucking fire stuff, and there's big JLP in front of you, just that booming voice. What's the feeling coming over you?
Adrenaline. That's the 100% that a word that I'll describe it is adrenaline. I was so ready and so nervous that JLP was going to ask me a question. I was going to fumble my first words. Like, genuinely, it just seems like everything's a blur and everything's like moving so fast. Adrenaline is definitely the word that I'll describe it. And then as soon as they they cut the intro and you get changed, getting ready for the start of the challenge, I'm pulled down, like, got my pink budgies out, and everyone's just, they're like, they're the brightest things on the beach, and everyone's just like, who the hell is this guy? And I was like, feel like, all right, I'm ready now, this is sick. And then he says go, and then I was in my element, mate. It's once the challenge started, like, I remember going back to the beach, and after about an hour back at the beach, I thought to myself, I was like, oh, sometimes they put, like, clues or idols in, like, the first challenge. I've seen that before. I didn't even think about looking. I'd thought about it beforehand, leading into the game. But then as soon as the challenge started, everything's moving so fast. I'd be like, let's just fucking win this. It's moving so quick. If there was an idol of clues out there was no chance I was fine with it. I had this fear in my head because I pick up the box in the first challenge where it has all the
tips. Yeah.
And I had this fear. I didn't even look inside. I had this fear there was an idol sitting right in there, and put down and missed it. Oh, and I was like, oh no, that's gonna look so bad on the edit if there was an idol in there.
You go back to camp and all you're doing is overthinking the edit. Oh no, I'm gonna look like a dumbass.
Yeah. Sorry, you cut out for a bit there, but yeah, I was very worried that could be the case.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, well, that's you were the first person, as you said, to get up there, and then obviously you guys get back in so the Titans fumble the fire, and the Rebels, obviously these people you don't know, you start celebrating with because you guys kicked their ass, and they're like being called Titans, so obviously you feel amazing kicking their ass. And what's that feeling of overwhelming? Who do you hug first? Where's that all go? And then obviously you're back to quiet time before you got to go to camp. So do you get out there?
Oh, the celebration, like, it honestly felt like I'd won the AFL Grand Final, man. Like, I was just so excited. Yeah, so jump all over Ferris, hug Garrick and stuff. And then yeah, like, you go and change, and then this quiet time heading back to the beach, and you're just constantly thinking, like, what am I going to say to these people? And then you get back to the beach, and it's just a completely different world to reality. There's cameras everywhere, and, like, they're right in your face, and you're trying to conjure up a plan, and you're thinking way too far ahead right now. All you should be doing is just, like, meeting people and getting to know people, especially as someone who's, like, you know, going to be helpful in the challenges. I should not be trying to make too many moves early. And it's just so much happening, man. It was just crazy time. And then you get back to the beach, and we've got the fire, and it's like also raining now. So,
oh no,
it's day one, there's no shelter, you've only got the clothes on your back, and it's just pelting with rain. It rained really hard for about 30 minutes, and then it stopped. But then once everything's wet, it was just like so hard to keep the fire going, so hard to, yeah. Oh, it was challenging.
Yeah, so just so the flame, so obviously the flame that you won, you have that, and does that keep going throughout the 30 minutes of rain, or is it you've got your fire going just enough that it sort of survived through it?
We got it started, and then we're like desperately trying to protect it while the rain's happening. So we're trying to build a shelter as well as trying to protect the fire. And we had some like little, you know, heat and embers still going, and we managed to pick it up back up later on. But we did also get, I don't know if they can say this, but we also got a flint as well as the, as the flame. So okay.
Awesome.
So yeah, we were able to, you know, find some dry wood and then keep it going. But it, like the edit makes it look like,
it's easy.
It was really easy because we won the challenge and that's what they wanted it to look like, but it wasn't the case, man. We were still struggling even though we'd won the fucking flame.
Well, at least you get the chance to sort of get to know people's strengths, etc. Talking about people's strengths, I'm guessing this was about the time that you and Kelly start having your little dance, and I think this might have been as close as the first eye roll as we got to you. To Kelly, at this circumstance, can you please explain what the sort of intensity of Kelly was in that initial fire building part? Because she seemed to want to be a very big part of that.
Yeah, well, Kelly's just a big personality. She likes to be the center of attention, and I think I was the one that was not willing to just like roll over and let her go like that. Yeah. So. The fire was happening, and I sort of was saying, "That's good, it's good." She's like, "Nah, it's not, mate. We gotta keep putting more wood on it." And then I'm thinking that it's smothering it, and then it's just like us buttoned heads for the rest of the season. But she was a very difficult woman to spend a couple of weeks on a beach with. I'm not gonna lie, very difficult. Probably most of Australia realize now.
Definitely. Look, she's as you said, she's a very intense personality. She's fun. I don't think she means anyone too much harm.
She's got no bad intentions whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. But okay. Well, let's talk about the rest of that first day. So after it's rained, the fire. Talk about sort of the relationships. Obviously, the Cuddle Club starts getting started.
Yeah.
But talk about the relationships, who you were hitting it off with, were you putting time into other people other than Cuddle Club, etc.?
Yeah, it's a good question. So early on, it was like me and Peter had started talking and me and Tobias had started talking. And then because Sarah was really close with Tobias, that was the four of us. But what people didn't see is we actually had what we thought was Rihanna and Kirby with us as well. And we called it the Sexy Six Alliance. That's what we thought was happening. And I actually was pretty convinced that Rihanna and Kirby were with us. And that's why I was feeling really confident we could throw the challenge and stuff. And then obviously, yeah, Kirby ended up voting with us, but she devised this whole plan to get Peter out, which was, yeah, I guess good on her. And I'm not sure why she would vote with us, because that's just going to, yeah, it ended up causing a bit of distrust on Ferris's end. But... yeah, that was the Sexy Six Alliance, mate. We thought we...
Sexy Six, fuck it.
Yeah. And then once we lost Peter, we were the Sexy Five. We didn't realize that we didn't have Kirby and Ree, so it was really only the Sexy Three. Oh, God. And then it just got worse from there.
And we're gonna get into it. There's going to be a little bit of banter throughout this, I promise you.
I like it.
no, genuinely. Okay, so the Sexy Six. So obviously it's in her best interest. Me hearing that, it's in her best interest because the Cuddle Club's the top of the Sexy Six. And if you go down to six, then it's sort of stuffs them up. But okay, so now a big thing, obviously, and I know this being a super fan of Survivor, and obviously you've watched a few seasons yourself, who you sleep next to, who's you close with. And that's a big way to work out alliances because you're only going to sleep next to people you're comfortable around. Now, obviously, you and Peter sleep next to each other this first night, and we start day two with Ferris sort of going off being like, the Cuddle Club. Like these two couples in the Cuddle Club, like, and they're just the pretty people sort of gone off on their own. And of course you guys are the pretty people. Like, let's be serious.
Oh, thanks.
Well, they can't be the Sexy Six for nothing. But you guys are off doing your own thing. Now, obviously, to us as viewers at home, we don't see all the conversations going on. We see you guys doing your thing and everyone else doing their thing. We don't even really see you with Curb and Rihanna. Mm-hmm. But can you sort of go through, like, day two, we've got the first immunity challenge coming up. Can you just go through, like, sort of how everyone sort of woke up that day and who was sort of talking to who? You obviously didn't get a great night's sleep because of Kelly and Raymond and everyone staying up, which is adrenaline.
I think the Kel thing's one thing, but the fact that it was, like, cold and wet and rainy was probably the other. I remember the first day, and for that matter, the first week, being the hardest in terms of sleeping throughout the entire game. Once you're, because you've got only a certain amount of clothing for the first week, and it was so bloody cold at the start of the game, and because it was just everything was wet, the wind's coming straight off the beach, and you just can't sleep, man. So the first week was really, 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 really tough. So wake up on day two, though, we were almost like, because you're just constantly up throughout the night. There's no way to shelter any of the wind. I remember getting up like 5, 6, 7 times waiting for the sun and just thinking like, it's got to come now. It's got to come now. And that night just seemed to go on forever, man. And then the preceding nights after that, they got a little better, but like the first week was so hard for me, man. And I think everyone else felt that as well. It was just really struggling with the cold and then and obviously the no shelter thing. I remember day 8 though, I think I had a really good sleep on day 7, I think it was. That was the night that Peter went home. But we get given our extra clothing on that day. We got 5 pieces of extra clothing on that day. So I had like track pants and a full blown jumper now. And then I just like was so tired that I just slept through the entire night. So day 7 was a really, really good sleep. But
that sounds awesome. Like after all of that, like you just would have felt so refreshed in the morning.
Yeah. 100%.
A change is as good as a holiday, man. A change of clothes.
that's how it felt, man. I felt like a new man waking up on day 8, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, let's pull it back a little bit. Yeah. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about, okay, so we got this first immunity challenge, the big ball challenge. And then you got to like knock over the idols off the pole. And obviously you guys dominate this challenge because the Titans sort of choke in sort of their strategy coming towards it. Yeah. And what was sort of your role in this challenge and sort of what was your feeling like coming out, not having to go to tribal council for the first time?
I think the first one's so important. I had this fear in my head. I think everyone has it. Just going home first. I just did not want to be the first one packing my bags. So it was just go, go, go and just win at all costs in this one. My role in this was probably just like doing the heavy lifting, I guess.
Hey, you're a big boy. Do it.
Big boy. Pulling the ball, and then lifting it up. That was probably my role in that and enjoyed it, loved it. And the celebration after not having to go to tribal was a good feeling, man. And it obviously, we'll get there in a minute, but it was nice not having to do it for the next one as well. Yeah.
No, dude, Ben, like it was the weight of this ball because that looked huge and it looked heavy. Like Jaden was definitely struggling on the other side with the people he was matched up with, like pulling this up that wall. Was this a good tester, like a good taste of what was to come?
Oh man, that thing was so heavy. And the thing is, like the challenges on TV, they go so quick. Well, they go quick compared to what we're out there with, right? So you see, like, oh yeah, they've lifted it up, and usually it's taken us like a good 3 or 4 minutes to get that thing up there because it's just so heavy. It was some of the challenges are grueling, man. But that was probably the part that I loved the most in the game. For us, the challenges are fun.
Oh, I bet. I think that's what, I know that's where my love of Survivor started. If there were anything on that day, any tidbits from that second day, second night, after winning that challenge that you've got that you can think of?
Not really. You just sort of come back to camp and you're all started just building relationships again. There was one, I'm not sure if it was this day, but it might've been the next time we won immunity. I'm not sure. But Kelly was having a crack at me for, because I was sleeping kind of near the fire and Carol was cold and she sort of said, oh, you don't share the fire. So there was one time we went down to this little tree as like a little group. I said, hey, Carol, I just want you to know, like, if you I'm happy to swap spots. Like, if you want to sit there, if you want to sleep there, you can. And she didn't really know what to say because, like, she's sort of expecting me to hog my spot. So she was like, oh, no, it's all right, Alex. It's fine. So she let me stay there. I was like, all right, thank you. No worries. Like, appreciate it. Really do. Let me know if you change your mind. And then I think it gets brought up at tribal council at our, oh, we'll get there in a minute again. But it gets brought up. And then, and I was saying, well, no, I did. Yeah. But they just cut all that out, unfortunately. The fact that I'd showed, I'd offered her to sleep there.
Yeah, mate, they've got to make you a bit villainous in this. Like, you're being mean to a perfectly normal, lovely person.
Poor little elderly lady.
Exactly.
That was they're going to make me look bad. Yeah, well, I get that.
Yeah, okay. Well, obviously you got the Cuddle Club and you've got, well, the Sexy Six that you think that you have. Are you trying to sort of make friendships? Because, like, Ferris, like, I've met Ferris. Like, I feel like he's sort of got a sort of personality that I think you'd be pretty attracted to as well. So, were you sort of making inroads with anyone else?
I think, I early on in the game, I had had a few conversations with Ferris and Garrick. And Garrick would sort of said, like, oh, I'm happy to just vote anywhere. And I sort of thought, oh, okay, well, he's going to play the real calm, cool, collected role where he's happy to vote. And I thought we had the majority. So I was like, great, we'll have his vote. And then I hadn't really talked too much with Ferris. And I think because he was chatting with Ray a bit, I didn't align with Ray at all. I was like, oh, wow, we're sort of very different characters. So I sort of didn't have too much conversation with Ferris. I think there's like one or two chats, but it was, and we'll get there later. But eventually after I'd lost two of the people in the Sexy Six or the Cuddle Crew, that's when I had really aligned with Ferris. I'd sort of made my decision. That's where we were going to be. And that was really exciting. And then we never actually got to vote together until later in the game because tribes have happened. And Kelly gets sent across, obviously. So, I think the game would have been very different if Kelly hadn't been sent that day because I reckon I would have been very in with that alliance early on.
Well, let's start here. So it's the end of day two. You've won the immunity challenge. You're very comfortable in the Sexy Six and you're quite comfortable voting Kelly out, I'm guessing.
Yep, I was going harder right at the start. I was like, let's get Kel out. That's pretty much where my mindset was.
Yeah, and just to think she lasts all the way till the one before merge. Oh, you must have learned some patience.
Oh yeah, 100%. That is you learn patience without having a Kelly there, but Kelly certainly enhanced the patience learning, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's move on. So we've got day three. And now, just remember, I can only do this off the edit and what I've heard from other cast members.
Yeah.
But this is, so day three, I'll get you to start talking about Raymond gets sort of, is a bit of an oddball. So just have a chat about Raymond.
Yeah, so Ray is a bit of an oddball. But what I will say about Ray is he's genuinely such a good man. And I didn't realize that until later on in the game. But, like, he's got a heart of gold. He really does. And he and I are we come from different worlds. And at the start of the game, he's just making loud, obnoxious comments. He's laughing, like, ridiculous hysterics, which became very annoying. And Peter hated Ray. Like, Ray realized that he was really pissing her off. And that's why when he gets her out, I think he was very, very chuffed. Or he helped get her out. Yeah. So they had a bit of a feud, and that was very obvious. But at the time, obviously, I was aligned with Peter, and I just didn't see the value in having Ray around. So I was like, let's get him out. If we're getting Kelly or Ray, I'm happy. But that's a little bit on Ray. I got a lot of respect for Ray, actually. I think he's a really, really good man. I think he was probably looking like for idols, and he didn't really care if he gets caught because he'll just say exactly what he did. I was just looking out for idols. Like, he's just that sort of character. And people probably wouldn't have seen it as a bit of a threat if he just owns it and becomes vulnerable, I guess. I actually was looking for an idol myself, which they didn't show in the edit, which I was hoping they would. But the day before Peter and I found that idol together, or she found it rather, I was in the exact same spot of the well looking for an idol. And I walked straight past that tree. Like, I was so close to it. And then when she had found it, I was like, oh, fuck, man, I like, couldn't believe it that she'd had it and like I didn't. Because my mentality in this game was that having an idol is like the powerful thing is owning it, right? Having it. So when she had it, I was like, damn it. Like, I know about it, which is better than not knowing about it, but I don't get to play it or I get to use it myself. So I was a little bit devastated at that. But it was good to have and really exciting. You know, you got to put it around my neck and stuff like that. When she had found it, she was in like really tight activewear, so she couldn't put it anywhere. So I put it down my budgies and walked down to the beach and end up going into the water with everyone because I was like stressing out that someone was going to see it. So I had it in the water, in my budgies, down at the, like sitting in the water there. And then it wasn't until later that I came up and put it in my bag sneakily. And then Peter grabbed it out of my bag because I didn't know which one her bag was. So. Yeah. Yeah, that was the idol hunt. That was good fun.
So you had an idol for about, I don't know, for about an hour.
Yours. Not an hour, probably about 15 minutes. But I did have one. And there was a little part of me that was like, oh, is she actually allowed to grab it out of her bag? It's in there now. Like,
exactly.
I'm not sure. Can we get a rule book on that one?
Nice.
But I didn't argue with it. I think the producer would be like, nah, mate, sorry.
Okay, so now here we're going to turn up to this tug of war challenge.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
And you see for the first time that Frankie's gone. And I just want to know sort of what are your feelings seeing Frankie? Because obviously you don't know these people. You've only just probably seen her once or twice. And, but she's quite a strong chick. Like she's not. Like she's definitely sort of in your realm of an archetype, just a female version. Yeah. So did this sort of start getting you suspecting of just wait, maybe people aren't scared to vote off the strong?
A little bit, yeah. If I'm honest though, man, like everything's happening so quick. You're trying to learn everyone's name on your beach and you're trying to learn, you're trying to understand where people are aligning, what their values are and everything. And you're just constantly thinking about people at your beach. And then you only glimpse the Titans for a split second at challenges, like what seems like a split second anyway. And you don't know any of their names. Well, you've heard like Jappy say a few names and stuff. So when she came back down, I was like, oh, which one was Frankie? Like, I couldn't even picture her, man. So, like, that's how I felt. Obviously, some of the people at our camp had said, oh, yeah, she was one of the stronger ones. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit strange. But I didn't really think too much of it. And I think that can be your demise if you're overthinking, like, oh, you know, she was my archetype. Like, maybe we could have aligned later. And like, how can that affect my game? That can cause problems in your game that like you just don't need as well. So I didn't really think too much about who was being sent home on the other side. I was obviously thinking about who I might align with later at Tribeswap and stuff like that, but I wasn't worried if someone got sent home. I would always back myself to be able to build a relationship somewhere. I think we were all picking who we thought was going to go home.
Yeah.
I think I said Mark. I think I said the suit jacket guy was going to come home on day one, and he ended up making it all the way to the final challenge. So kudos to Mark. A little shout out for you, mate.
Yeah, a little shout out for Mark. I'm sure he'll listen to this just to hear your side of the story. Even you guys have probably gone over it a few times together.
Yeah. I do love Mark. He's a great man.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. Okay, well, let's get into this tug of war challenge. Now, you and Ferris get teamed up against Jaden and Nathan. So the two biggest boys in the game on the other side. And I guess, yeah, possibly maybe Tobias is a bit bigger than you, but I wouldn't say he's like a lot bigger. And you definitely seem like you got a lot of grunt in you. So this is obviously
Hang on, what? Fucking hell, the bloke's like 5'8" or something, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm joking.
I'm going to be telling him you said that he was a bit bigger than me. He was not bigger than me. Definitely not.
No, I'm glad. I love that. I was waiting. I've had that written down ready for it to see your response to that. But okay, so it's you two versus the two big boys.
Yeah.
And you guys, now obviously Mark's got this awesome strategy and he's like telling them when to push, when to pull, and pretty much is able to tire you out. Now, realistically, you've got the strong man on the other side and Nathan's definitely not a small guy. So did you guys come in confident to win this tug of war?
I'm a very optimistic man. I was leaning into that going, you know what, we're going to pull this out. We're going to pull this through here. And I definitely felt like we were. And we held our own for a while. And then I kept hearing Garrick from the sideline saying, he's going to tire. He's not good in endurance. He's going to die. He's going to tire. And knowing who Jaden is now and actually being good friends with him, that just wasn't like going to happen. He is an absolute beast, man. And if I had known who he was and everything about him now at that time, I would have thought I was going to lose straight away, which we obviously did. So yeah. He's a beast, man. He is an absolute, he's a powerful human being. I've never been tackled by anyone like that. And I think in one of the challenges later on, he just slams me.
I bet he's a proper front row, mate. Like,
yeah, he is.
Yeah. Us back rows, we just don't stand a chance.
He's just explosive as well, man. Yeah. Like he's quick, he's strong, he's fast, he's powerful. Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah. Nah, awesome. Okay, well, we see that you guys we don't see how many rounds there were, obviously, or anything like that. Yeah. But we do see like Peter quitting in her round. Now, does this put a bad taste in people's minds?
It does, getting back to camp, yes. It did in mine as well.
But how were the chocolate and marshmallows, mate? Were the chocolate and marshmallows? Mate.
Yeah, we didn't even get to see them back at camp.
We didn't, no.
Oh, mate, what is going on? I couldn't believe they didn't show that. That was such a treat. A few s'mores. It was nice. And I think, was this in day four?
This is still day three.
Oh. Day four, I'm going to say it now because it doesn't really affect the game. Day four, we went down to the beach after like nightfall. It was completely dark. Normally, we just go to bed because there's nothing to do. But we went down to the beach and we all sat down on the beach and we watched the stars. Man, the stars were unbelievable that night. I've never seen anything like it. It was just the clearest night and there was, millions and millions of stars. There were shooting stars every couple of seconds. It was crazy. That was day four. It was really nice.
Oh, that's beautiful. What an experience you had, man. Not everyone gets this. Like, you should be so proud that you were a big enough character to get on this show. Like, you fucking killed it. And, like, I'm so glad you enjoyed the experience the way it should be enjoyed.
I said to my girlfriend when I got out of the game, I said, I think you would struggle with this, babe, but you would go through the first 4 days if you got to see these stars. You 100% would have put up with what we had to deal with in those first 4 days to see them. Babe, she loves the stars.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cute as shit. Okay. Now, with the chocolates and marshmallows, one quick question. Did you guys just smash them there and then and they were just all gone? Or did you, almost in like cycle?
There's no recycling any of the marshmallows. There's no saving them. It was just
pump.
Eat them as quickly as you can. Make sure you don't miss out on the extra one.
I'm looking forward to ask you about the coffee, but we won't get there just yet.
Yeah, the coffee's good.
Okay. All right, now we go into day four and we've got this another immunity challenge. Now, this is the one with the spinning twisted net. And then the coconuts where Jaden and Viola are holding up the bag and Ferris and Tobias are holding up the bag for you guys. And you actually sort of come out the hero because you seem to be getting a lot of the coconuts. Do you want to talk me through that challenge?
Yeah, mate. That was so hot that day. And I remember just sweating and trying to lob these coconuts in. And it just like, I thought it was going to be a lot heavier for the people holding earlier on. Like I thought that you'd need maybe 15, 20 coconuts and then they'd be like, oh, that's too heavy now. I don't know. I just don't know why I thought that. But man, we had to get so many coconuts in there and the edit goes so quick. But yeah, I was just landing shot after shot and I had my mates from London to text me saying like, dude, why couldn't you get those coconuts in faster? I was like, what are you serious, man? I was doing so well. I won that challenge for us. And they were still dirty at me. That was a sick challenge and kudos to Tobias and Ferris for holding up so long because there was a heap of coconuts in theirs as well. So that was good fun.
It looks like a whole lot of fun because Nathan seemed like he was doing the same thing on the other end. So it was definitely a contest and it was sort of cool seeing it sort of all play out, especially like Jaden being the beast that he is.
One thing, they're really big on safety, obviously, throughout these challenges and stuff. And as soon as I saw their thing drop, I had a coconut in my hand. I lobbed it into the air as hot, like I caught the cricket ball. I just lobbed it so high. And then I was trying to celebrate. Then I realized, I was like, oh, shit. So I tried to like run and try and catch this coconut so I didn't hit anyone. And then I started celebrating after. I think they showed at the start, like just they see me throwing it, like as we celebrate, you just get a glimpse of it.
But then we just don't see you trying to save everyone's life from getting hit on the head with a coconut. Jaden and Viola are just on the ground, just, oh, I'm dead. Just the coconuts coming at them. Exactly. I'm thinking like, you know, when you got that bow and arrow and you shoot it in the air.
Yeah, stupid.
Okay. Well, awesome. Now, pretty much we jump to day six on as per the edit. So obviously we've got the stars that we see on night four. Day five, I'm guessing, is your first day off.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe if you had a reward challenge that we didn't see or something like that.
Nah, we had a day off that day and it was kind of nice, like trying to, you know, you get a little bit more time to build the shelter and stuff. And then we had like some, I think we did some yoga or something and a little bit of human pyramids and stuff, little fun things. I think that's the day that Kelly wanted to play Twister, actually. We ended up having a little game.
Yeah, a little game of Twister. How do you play Twister out there?
She had four different things. She had like leaves, coconuts, sticks, and something else. And then it was like, you know, left foot stick. So we tried to play Twister, but she was... persistent with games. She just wanted to always be doing something. I think her mind didn't know how to switch off at all.
Oh, well, and at least, and some people would think that is entertaining and keeping you going, so you can sort of kudos to her for probably giving you guys a bit of eventful.
Yeah. I'm sure Australia thought it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Can I ask, like, sort of who were the big builders of the shelter?
Tobias was definitely one. Garrick, another. We had a lot of, I would say, laborers and not really a lot of...
leaders.
Leaders, yeah. No managers happening. It was sort of just like, oh, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, I think Scott was pretty good as well, actually, remembering. Yeah.
Well, no one's Scott, really sort of a tradie out there, are they? Like, what's Tobias do for a living again?
Oh, God, I couldn't even tell you, man. Just, like, jumping out of, like, planes skydiving all the time, eh?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what actually nobody does, but...
nice. Okay. Things are starting to heat up in this episode because, obviously, Peter finds the idol, which is really, really cool. And you guys, in this night, start discussing throwing the challenge. So later this day, you'd start discussing throwing the challenge. But... we'll just start talking about where the numbers are sitting. So you guys are thinking you have the numbers. You're thinking about splitting on Raymond and Kelly, but you don't have a tribal council to go to. So there's no sort of solid plan. Has anything changed over these first sort of 6 days?
No. I don't think anything had changed in my mind anyway. I was pretty convinced that we had six definites and then Ferris and Garrick and... everyone else would sort of be like, okay, we can just slot in there and get these guys out for an easy vote. That's what I was thinking was happening.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about sort of Kirby in the Sexy Six and who was talking to her? Were you close with Kirby? Like, where was that all sort of happening?
She was brought in. So Rihanna was the fifth wheel, I guess you could call it. And then we had seen Rihanna was sort of like making conversation with Kirby, and then we had all decided, oh, let's bring Kirby into this as well. And then, yeah, so Kirby, who was having a conversation with Kirby though? I think I'd had a little conversation with her, but I think she was just the observer at the camp at that point. She did that well. And I think, I think as soon as we had said, hey, like, are you happy to come into this alliance or whatever? Then she was just like, yeah. Of course, that's what she's going to say, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're like, yeah, sweet, sorted. How good's this? And the wool was over our eyes, mate. It really was.
Okay, let's get on. So now we've got another reward challenge. Now this is the cage swimming challenge, which Eileen comes out the hero for your tribe. You and Tobias lose to Jaden and Nathan again. But you are starting to have a little bit of a chat with Nathan that we see in the edit, like, because obviously this is now the second challenge you guys have been in one-on-one or, like, two-on-two. Can you start talking about sort of the Titans? And I know that you said how you're not too worried about them just yet, but who were you starting to feel connections with?
Definitely Nathan. I think like we were the sort of similar build and everything, and we're both in Budgie Smugglers, and I was thinking, great, you know, and I knew that he was he's an old footy player and stuff, and I love my footy, so I was like, great, I'm going to have something to bond over if we get to tribe swap together. That was certainly how I was feeling. But yeah, and then we had little snippets of Jaden being funny and stuff, and they were the ones that I guess you could see us molding together with. But it's so hard, man. Like you don't get any time at all. Like you literally get a little moment where you get to have a chat, and then it's back into silence, waiting for the next thing to happen. So it's very hard to sort of read where people are, where their alliances are on the other side, without having proper conversations with everyone.
No, definitely. Were there anyone like that was like really good at making eyes at you? Like anyone on the Titans tribe that was like really good at like even in those silences, you sort of.
Oh, there was Kitty who would always look here, yeah. But I don't know whether that's being good at making eyes, because I never understood what she was trying to do. Like, you'd just stare at her. And then you'd like sort of look at her, and then you'd gaze, and then that would be it. And either I couldn't read what she was putting down, or she wasn't putting anything down.
So, she was just staring into your soul, man.
I don't think it was just me either. I think like everyone got it. I was just like, oh, Kitty is a...
That'd be a bit intimidating, to be truthful, because she's like, she's a beast. Yeah. And she just stares you down with a blank face. It's like, oh shit.
Oh, Kitty is a character. I really like Kitty, but she had some stories for us, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, going into this challenge, you've talked about throwing the challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is night six.
Night six.
Yep. Yeah. So this is night six. Now you're talking about throwing a challenge. Now I'd love to hear how you sort of how that came up, because obviously you bring that up.
Yeah.
But did people respond to that really, really well?
Well, I bring it up in the edit, but I'm pretty sure Tobias, again, this is going back a long time ago, mates. I'm pretty sure Tobias and I had spoken about just throwing one to get Kelly out. I think it was like a mutual conversation and somehow arose between us. And then we took it to the girls, and I'm the one that says it. So I'm pretty sure that's how it went down, and it was well received. I mean, all of our alliance, we were all on the same page, and I think... I'm pretty sure that Rihanna's sitting in that conversation as well, which fucks us, because she was working really close with Kirby, and I'm pretty sure that's how Scott found out. And Scott mentions it straight after Tribal. He says, oh, why did we throw that challenge? I was like, oh, geez, it's out. But yeah, that was like going into the game, I said to myself, I'm going to try things, going to be entertaining. And in the moment, like it had been 6 days, we hadn't been to Tribal Council, and Tribal Council is a massive part of Survivor. So I'm thinking like, let's get there. Let's have a crack at it. You know, if it comes off, great. If it doesn't, well, I'll live. And that was my mentality. And it obviously didn't come off, which cooked me in the time. But at the same time, like that was the game plan going in. So I don't really regret it, but at the same time, yeah, it was brutal watching Peter go home, especially with that idol. Oh my god, I was like, no,
just so much power just walks out the door.
And no one knew about it either. Like, I saw it walking away, and I was just like, oh, what about this?
All right, so well, let's go back to throwing the challenge, because this is so fucking entertaining. Like, you can just see you in the background, like. Push when you're not pushing and stuff. Can you sort of just talk through the ways that you guys actually did throw the challenge? Because we only see certain things.
Yeah, so the sled was very heavy, and like the Titans were moving it real quick. They would have had like 5 people max on that sled that were doing any pushing. We just weren't doing anything. And like that's what like took us so long. We were so far behind. But obviously, in the edit, we so close to winning that challenge. And I was sitting there going like, oh my God, we're going to win this. Like, we're going to have to deal with this girl for another 2 days. That was my mentality. But yeah, the Charles and Eden just couldn't get that puzzle done. I think it was Eden and Charles. And they just couldn't get it done. And we were so close to winning. And what confused me though was I had said to myself, all right, I'm not going to do the slingshot stuff because like I'll probably be pretty good at it and I don't want to have to try and look too bad by missing it. And then Tobias gets up there and I'm pretty sure he's actually hitting a few. Oh, no, he was doing it really bad as well. And then Kirby's hitting it.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, yeah. Kirby takes it down, smashes it down real quick. And then Rihanna, who's sort of part of your sexy six, and Scott just fucking throw the puzzle together so quickly.
Yeah.
And Eden and Charles just can't work out this blue dot that's just on the wrong side.
Yeah. And honestly, man, that challenge like was so close. We literally got it like a split second after they did. And then, yeah, it was very, very close.
Yeah, it looked like it on TV, man. It was fucking sick. And just like, what's that feeling? Like you've tried to throw it, you've thrown it. So are you more celebrating? Because you've just got this big ass smile on your face most of the time.
Well, I was just like, oh, sweet. Like that's worked out a treat. We'll get to go to tribal and see what that's all about. And then, yeah, get back to camp. And I was feeling so confident, man. Like I'd had a couple of chats and I was just heading into tribal council feeling like, this is easy, man. Like this is going to be great. We're going to get like Kelly out and then we're just going to be like sitting in a majority. We'll just go all the way to the tribe swap. How good? And it's a very different reality.
Very, very different reality. Let's talk a little bit about this reality. Why don't we? Why don't we talk about, okay, so you've gone in, the three girls are on Kelly and the three girls are on Raymond and everyone else is on Kelly. So you're just pulling numbers from the other side, the other six people that aren't in your alliance.
Yeah.
And you're thinking who's going to come with you. And okay, everything's on track. You're super confident. Everything is going well. Now, little do you know that Kirby's in the background sort of doing some sneaky shit. And Kelly knows that she's going home. So she's feeling stressed. I want you to tell me about Kelly around camp on the way up, leading up to this tribal council.
Mate, she was literally like, oh, she was putting on such a show. And I just thought she was just being like annoying. I just thought she was just doing it for a laugh. Like I thought she actually realized that she was going to go home and then she was just being silly. But because like I meditate and I had been meditating in the mornings, like before the sun comes up. So she'd obviously seen that. And then she's taken the piss out of me going down and doing some meditating. I don't know if you would have seen that part.
Yeah.
And she's like sitting there and I'm just going like, what are you doing, mate? Like stuff is stupid. She played it well enough to keep the wool over our eyes, and that was good on her end.
Yeah, so she overplayed it so well that it was
unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah, that it was okay, that's sick. Well, good on you, Kelly. Well done. Hey,
well done, Kel.
You're strategic, Kel. Okay, no.
I'll tell you, mate. She's a strategic player.
She is. Okay, now going into tribal council, mate, what is this like? What is this feeling like? You're vulnerable, like you could go home. This is the first tribal council. Obviously you're feeling confident going in, but you could go home. What is this first feeling when you hit tribal council?
Yeah, I had not thought about going home one bit, honestly. I was nervous about the whole experience. I was really nervous and I was like, you know, excited to speak up at tribal council. I think I speak up out of turn, even ask Kelly about something. But yeah, that's I was just nervous and excited about it all. But like, there was not a thought in my mind that I was going home that day at all. It very much changed the next tribal council. I was almost thinking I was going home, but I was just so blindly confident, which is, not if I'm giving any advice to anyone that ever plays Survivor, never go into tribal council thinking that you're completely safe. Like that is just rule number one of Survivor now, is just assume the worst in any situation and try and plan for that worst case scenario.
Have backup plan on backup plan.
Yeah, legit. That's exactly what I'd recommend.
Okay. Well, look, this is obviously being your first tribal council, and obviously it's an edited product. So we seem to see you sort of suss out that not everything's in your favor about halfway through the tribal council. Was this correct, or did they just were they able to edit that this way?
No, the moment that I knew something was up was when Ferris said that we're going to make an example out of someone. And my Oh, then I just started to really panic. I was like, oh, and I actually thought it could have been me then, because like I'd probably been more of a character than Peter had. So people would have thought, oh, let's make an example out of Alex. You know, let's send him home. He's not going to expect it. And that was when I was like, oh, shit. And then the whole idols talk happens and JLP's asking about that. And I was like, oh, no, maybe they knew about this idol and they're going to try and send her home. And I'll try a little hint to her that if, you know, she thinks she's in any danger at all to play it. Obviously she doesn't though. But yeah, once Ferris had said that line, I was like, oh shit, I'm not in the spot that I thought I was.
No, definitely, definitely. I think a lot of people were trying to read in between the lines of that and working out if it was the edit or you're actually like telling Peter to play it. Ferris at Tribal Council is a completely different character to anything we've ever seen. And especially these first few tribals, I think a lot of people were thinking he was over-talking and giving away too much information. And obviously, as you said, you started to notice that there was a plan after he says this. Was this a big thing at the start of the game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what Ferris does really well is what I was actually part of my strategy, and that is be entertaining. The man knows what is going to like look good on TV. And that's a skill. That's a really big skill in this game. And yeah, so he would give away just enough that would create, you know, controversy and frustration, but they're not enough where it's going to give away plans because yeah. And he did that really well throughout the entire game. Probably one.
Awesome. Because yeah, like to us in the edit, like us, like sort of, digging deep into it, it looked like he was giving too much away those first few tribal councils, but that's awesome that he wasn't and he was just playing his audience.
I think especially as 24 newbies, like if he's got a plan, especially at the start, that's solid and he's really happy with it and he gives away a little bit to rattle the other team or the other alliance rather, like that's good. That's great stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, like, obviously we weren't, well, I certainly didn't feel skilled enough to change people's minds at Tribal Council through some whispers, especially early on in the game. Like it was, I think he knew his position and he rattled us even more. And then, I think it looked really good and it obviously worked for him.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay. Danny Green and Mundine is Kirby's line for you and Ferris. is that what it felt like discussing things back and forth?
Oh, probably a little bit after this tribal council. But I wouldn't have said that too much, if I'm honest. I would say Kirby and I were more like Danny Green and Mundine later in the show, if I'm honest.
Yeah. who's who?
Yeah. But Ferris, you know, we had our moments, but all in all, like he was someone that I actually like could have a conversation with and really respected. So for the most part, I wouldn't say that we were like that. It's going back a long time though, especially the early stage of the game. Maybe there was a conversation that I missed.
Okay. Peter goes home. She doesn't play the idol. Everything is just a shock. Like you're in complete, like what the fuck has just happened? And yep. You have to leave Tribal Council, go back into silence. Give me a feeling of your thoughts because pretty much your number one at the moment is leaving. It's gone. And you're by yourself realistically.
Yeah. Initial panic, I guess. When it first happens, I'm like, holy crap, this is what feeling being blindsided is like. And it was just very, like, I remember even watching the votes come out and everything just happened so quick. And I was trying to like think, oh my God, like, has it really just happened? Is Peter gone? Like, and then you have some silence and you get back to camp. And I remember like coming to the game, I said to myself, like, there's going to be times when you get frustrated or emotional and you just have to let all of that go. Like this is a game and there is no, that you are not going to win by attaching yourself to your emotions. And as soon as I like realized what had happened and I had like figured out who had voted where, I was like, great, let's just go and, you know, suck up a little bit and Peter's gone. Who cares? That's fine. We'll start again. Literally start the game fresh. And that was my mentality. And rather than being like, you know, vengeful or looking for revenge or anything, I was like, okay, what do I have to do from here now? Who do I have to align with now? And that was pretty much what I did. And it was good because like Ferris was similar mindset. He said there's no like, you know, we're not doing it personally or anything. It's just the game. And as soon as he'd said that, I was like, all right, let's you know, continue working forward. And then from there, it wasn't just now. It was the one up.
It's coming up. But I completely get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's when we're not getting closer. But yeah.
No, dude, that's literally it. And that's awesome because obviously you're not knowing a whole lot about Survivor and coming into the game like that, that's a great mentality to have worked out on that first tribal council. Refresh, get back into it, start again. And in turn, who knows, this might be the reason Kelly saves you in the next tribal council to come.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. You realize she's got more power than you realized.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Oh, God.
Okay. But now, obviously, Kirby and Rihanna have voted with you guys down this line. So how'd they go keeping that sort of secret going?
I was none the wiser, mate. I thought they had voted with us and we had just lost. And yeah, that was another one where I just wasn't up to the task, I guess.
Coming into day
eight. That little chuckle, eh? You're like, are you fucking idiot?
I'm sorry. Let's start day eight. Let's bring this. I'll probably do this chuckle again right after this. We'll talk about this another iconic line. There is no way this happens to me twice in a row. Which is a bit of a precursor.
It sounds like something Simon would say. That is a simplification if I've ever heard one.
It's in the edit, mate. It's in the edit.
I know. That's. Well, that was a mentality, and that's the mentality that you have to have. You have to be thinking like this can't happen again, and you're trying to figure out ways to make it not. But it did.
Yeah, definitely. And the truth is, if it didn't happen again, I don't think they would have brought that into the edit. But I think it's a bit of a precursor for things to come. You're waking up after Peter's gone home, and you mentioned to the camera that it probably wasn't a good idea to throw the challenge. Did anyone let on that they thought you'd thrown the challenge at this stage? Or you've already said that Scott mentioned it?
Yeah, we got back to camp straight after tribal and then it was brought up from Scott. Now, I don't know how Scott knew because I think we mastered pretty well at the challenge.
Yeah.
But, he did know. Someone had mentioned it and then, yeah, that was a shame.
So obviously Garrick, I don't know, like just from the edit, we see Garrick thinks that you've thrown it. Maybe that gets around. Or did Kirby and Rihanna, might be a nice question for Kirby or Rihanna to answer. Like, did they start spreading it around? Because Rihanna probably told Kirby.
I think it would have been Rihanna and Kirby. I think Rhee told Curbs. That's what I think's happened. And then she was close with Scott at the time. I don't think Garrick, although he is very good at sniffing things out, I don't think he sniffed that one out, to be honest.
Okay, and how was the rest of the tribe treating you? Like now, well, you don't know that you're on the bottom because you've still got Kirby and Rihanna in your corner from your knowledge, but how is sort of everyone else, like the misfits, treating you?
Oh, probably just like consolidating. I think, Ray would come up and make some silly joke and make you feel better and stuff like that, which is really good gameplay, I guess. He wants to make you feel like you're not in trouble, even though you probably are. I didn't really have too many conversations with Eileen, not until maybe a couple of days' time from now. Garrick seemed to be frustrated because he was last to know of the vote, which is why he went against the Sexy Six, you'd call it. That was pretty much how I was being treated by the rest of the game.
Okay, so do you feel like if you had told Garrick earlier, he might have actually voted with you?
Oh, that's an interesting question, Tim. That is a really interesting question because you'd like to think yes, but at the same time, he's probably looking at our alliance and thinking that he's on the outer anyway, and he probably wouldn't, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, I don't think there's any way. With the alliance that we landed in, there's like what we thought we landed in anyway, he was probably always going to vote somewhere else, I think. Yeah. Now looking back on it,
yeah, looking back. But at the time, you're probably like, fuck, sort of thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Now, pushing on to, now we come to this really cool, now this is a really cool Australian challenge. We got the two buddies and you got to push and you got to hit the bell.
Yep.
I very much like this challenge. And obviously, this is really cool because the Rebels win this one. Which is very, very exciting. Now, we don't see you in this challenge. But you were wet. So did you not get the chance to be involved, or were you one of the ones that we didn't see?
No, I bowled winner over really, really bad and won the challenge quite easily. And yeah. I wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, it just wasn't entertaining enough, or it was too entertaining. Maybe. And it looked like you were brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. I was so excited to see it when I was watching it, and they didn't show it. I was like, what the fuck? I'm so angry. Because I just like, yeah, steamrolled him, mate. Yeah. Winner.
Just but, yeah. straight through. Yeah, and he's a pretty decent sized guy, isn't he? Yeah. I don't know. TV makes everyone look bigger.
Yeah. Obviously, so, it makes bias look bigger. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously.
I'm going to let that one go, mate. I can't believe you said that.
Okay, now you guys win. Okay, this is the grazing platter.
Yeah, so we win the reward challenge and we've got the grazing platter. We'll get back there and I'm ravenous. I'm so hungry. And then there's three of those little keys there. And we're all thinking like, okay, what's this? Little treasure hunt. And then the plan, I did pick one up. I thought about just pocketing it, but I was like, that's just going to paint way too big a target on your back. Good. So didn't do that. I think I held it for a while and put it in the pocket and then ended up going, nah, I better put it back there. And then we devised this idea to go into groups of four and start looking. And I just wasn't in the right group. Well, not initially. I was not initially, but I did end up leaving that group because there was nothing by the well. And heading my way over to Ferris, who had found his little treasure box. He already knew where it was.
Yeah.
Started skulking. Now, in this moment, he ends up, because he has to tell me, because
he's seen it right in front of you.
I'll give you the second part of it. And Kelly then hears Ferris telling me about it. And then she's like blown it all up to everyone. We found something. But yeah, obviously Ferris only said the first part of it. But like the way that the clue or the paper had read, it was obviously there was something else inside the box. Not just the key. So I was calling him out a little bit and tried to give him the chance to be honest with me, and he wasn't, which sort of told me more about our relationship than not. So
No, definitely. That was one of my other questions was, if you just, because you find him first before Kelly finds him, were you sort of thinking about using this as a way to get you guys closer?
Oh, 100%. I was thinking like, now that, you know, you've kind of had to tell me this, surely like we're buddies and we can really align now. Yeah.
And in turn, he becomes your next target. By him not telling you anything. And he could have lost a good ally. Who knows? You might have voted together for the first time.
Well, we ended up trying to do that the next one.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's so great about this game is it does truly change so quickly. And the saying that like 2 days of the game can change a game is like, it can never be more true, mate. You just have to get through two more days. If you're on the bottom, and then the whole game will change and you'll be needed somewhere. And then you're back on top, or back, you know, in a good alliance. So yeah, again, if anyone ever plays it, mate, just keep fighting.
So we're getting into day nine, and this is now the dodgeball immunity challenge. And this is where we see Kirby really shine challenges. I'm not sure if she's already started shining, but she really shines by catching the ball and throwing it back.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk through this challenge a little bit and how much fun it was? It would have been a bit of fun. Like, you got to peg balls at people.
I wasn't on the tower. I was constantly in the pool because I was a pretty quick swimmer and didn't mind a little wrestle. So, but Jaden, I can't remember, he was against me in one of them. He's just so strong, man. And then you see, obviously, him brush Garrick aside. Poor Garrick. I think I'd gone at the start and therefore couldn't go again or something when he went twice. But yeah, we ended up losing this one, didn't we?
You lost this one.
Yeah, that was a down day because I was feeling under the pump and I would have loved to have won it. And then, we just couldn't get the job done, which sucked.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a curse. When someone throws a challenge, they tend to lose the next few after.
Yeah.
If you'd watch them survive, you'd know.
Yeah. Let me go on to that, mate.
It ends up working out sort of in your favor because, again, this gets you two more days that you might not have gotten if it was in the future. Okay. You've lost the challenge and you're back at camp, and Tobias has got a really unique strategy. He just sits there, cooks the food, does nothing, doesn't talk to many people.
Yeah.
What were you doing around this, and how did you feel about that strategy?
Oh, I mean, like, I had a chat with Tobias, and the edit makes it look a lot worse than it really is. There's a lot of time out there, man. Like, he had got up and he had conversations with everyone, but just not as much as everyone else. Like, everyone else is like bees around a honeypot, just buzzing around trying to chat to everyone, and he just wasn't like that. But he had spoken to his alliance, and he was really happy, and he thought we were all good. I was really confused at this point, man. I literally thought, like, all right, I've been fed a bunch of lies at Tribal Council 1, and now, like, I'm most likely being fed a bunch of lies now. And it was so... this was the moment when I realized, like, this is so hard to know when somebody's actually lying to you. Like, I thought it was going to be really easy to pick when somebody's lying to me, and that just wasn't the case. I was really confused. And then I think I got the name that we're going to try and flush Ferris's idol. I was like, okay, sweet. Let's do that. And we ended up voting for Ferris, and admittedly it kind of worked. He did play it, but there was many more people that had other plans. And I'm just lucky that Kelly had decided to not put my name down and put Tobias's instead.
What did you feel like? What sort of was, do you reckon that there was just one conversation that maybe piqued Kelly's interest enough with you that she felt like she could possibly work with you in the future?
Well, the thing is, Kelly and I had actually had a lot of conversations. Yes, we, like, just not despise each other. We just didn't get along, right? But because we weren't afraid to have those conversations, we actually talked quite a lot, right? And there were lots of moments that you don't see where, you know, we put our guard down and we're actually, like, enjoying the conversation as well. So, like, she would tell me about her kids and I would tell her about my travels and things like that. And we would bond a little bit, but it was just, like, a lot of the time, frustration. But I think what Kelly had seen in me is, like, okay, even though we don't really see eye to eye, it, like, I think we sort of thought maybe, you know, there could be, like, that really unlikely alliance down the line, and maybe that's what she was thinking. So we spoke about it once she had saved me. We spoke about that unlikely alliance a little bit, but then she's Kelly. So, like, you can try, and then you can have that conversation, you can have that thought, and then the moment something else happens, you're like, well, it's not actually going to happen, is it? I think in her mind, though, she was thinking, great, I'm going to get on top of this game, I'm going to be leading this game, I'll save Alex, and then everyone will think I'm a genius. And that's just, I think it was just, yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. You also find with people like that, when you guys are sort of, when you know you're, like, against each other, you do find that it's almost truthful talk. Like, you're talking completely honest. There's no bullshit. When you do actually talk sort of like about the game, you're like, I'm going for you sort of thing. It's like very straight up. And it's like clarity in your conversations when you're talking to someone that you sort of know is against you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which is nice because you don't get a lot of that out there.
Exactly. Because everyone's like, not, you're not sure if they're with you or not. Always. Whereas at least you know they're not with you. So they're just like, yeah, I'd get you out.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Maybe that was it. And obviously all you got to do is just be a little bit ahead of the other person, and you were just that little bit ahead of Tobias.
Yeah.
So now Tobias goes home. Now you're left with not a lot here because, like, obviously Sarah's part of the cuddle crew, but she's not directly part of sort of game, and you've lost your two counterparts.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the feeling coming out of this one? Like, this is a big one.
I remember feeling really, really flat, man. Day 10 was the worst, but I just remember coming back being like, oh, man, I just can't get my grip on this game. I thought I was going to do way better. I'm not eating. Like, I'm fucking hungry. I'm tired. And I just remember feeling a little bit flat. There were some times even where I was, like, sort of head in the hands around the camp, and the camera was, like, right in my face, and I was just like, get the fuck away from me. I was, like, kind of done with it all. But, yeah, I think I just remember being like, all right, just got to move on now and try and figure out the next steps. And then I ended up being really lucky that the two separate alliances started, you know, squabbling a little bit, and then I got to be fucking... I hate this word, but float in the middle of it.
Float in the middle of it. Yes, I bet you hate that word.
Yeah.
Dude, that must have been so hard, but, like, I could hear that in your voice just then. Like, Losing like your two people, and you just like you want to just be alone, but you've got this camera just stuck in your face.
Yeah, I mean, losing Tobias and Peter, it's obviously like it sucked, but it wasn't like I had deeply emotionally connected with them and that I needed them in the game to survive. Like that's not how I felt, but it was just I feel like I'd been struggling for 9 or 10 days now, and I had nothing to show for it, and I was just like, man, what do I do from here? Is this going to keep getting worse and worse and worse? And that overthinking of like never getting out of that feeling of always being confused, always being frustrated. I just needed to shift that mindset into, okay, this is just one of the troughs in this game. There must be a rise coming soon. Just be positive and just get ready for it. And I think looking back on it now, if I were to play again, I would just try and see everything with a smile on your face, with a laugh, and be like, oh, how about that? Like, well done. You got like, that was sick. And then just wait for the rise to come, because it does. It just changes so quickly. It happened throughout the entire game where it was like down and up and down and up. So,
let's talk about one of those rises. You fucking next day you kick Nathan's ass at that idol challenge with the two ropes. Like you kick his bum.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that one. I was first out of the gates as well, so no one had done the challenge yet. Just managed to pull him over and get the win, and got a nice little, I got to pick him up as well, and that felt good because I was like, look, man, if you get through a little longer, we'll be at tri swap and we'll be an alliance. Yeah,
exactly.
that was the sort of eye contact and feel that we were feeling.
Yeah, no, that's sick. And then obviously we see Kirby. She also has a fucking brilliant strategy.
Yeah. That was awesome, mate. Yeah, yeah, I remember thinking, like, once you'd done it once and then we're all thinking about the next one, and I was just like, just do it again. Like, the same thing will happen again, is they'll try and protect their one and then you just run for the second. It would have worked every time, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to work pretty much as long as you're the first person to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's a star, mate. She's a very clever woman.
Definitely a star. Ends now. You guys get a little bit of a high. Definitely high on sugar because you've got this the kid's birthday party on Sarah's birthday.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. I think they must have like teed it up or something. I don't know, but that was awesome, man. That was probably one of, well, I don't want to say the best reward, but it was definitely the reward where it had the most food, because I just gorged myself, man. I couldn't, there was so much food left over. We just couldn't eat it all. That was sick. I love that. Kids party.
Did you get sick from eating it all?
Oh, mate, you get sick every time you get a reward. Like, there's no avoiding that. But like, you're not
just
gonna
enjoy it where you can.
You're just not going to not eat. You just have to get the calories in and worry about the consequences later.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
The sausage rolls are first to go, though. Definitely.
Oh, fuck yeah. At least you get some protein.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, perfect. Okay. Let's start cracking on, man. Let's get into... Okay, so this next one is like you got to build the puzzle, then you got to knock down the puzzle. And this is the one where Kelly's very good at balance.
The first one of the challenge, she is insisting that she's good at everything, Kel, and everyone's trying to say, no, sit this out. But we're not quite comfortable doing that just yet because we don't want to make any enemies. So I said, all right, bench me, no worries. I didn't do any part of that except for the chopping at the start. And, she cost us big time, man. And I was frustrated as hell. And I actually spray her. No, I spray her in a good way back at camp. Like, I'm like laughing but raising my voice at the same time.
Yeah.
It did make the edit, but I was just like, hey, you can't bench me next time. Like, having a bit of a laugh with it all, and she just like didn't really like that. But yeah, that was funny. And then we get back to camp, and Curbs has told me that she wants the gun for Ferris's idol. And I've got to told Ferris. And then this is the point where I wish Tribe Swap would happen a little different, because Ferris, I'd earned Ferris's trust at this point, and I was convinced that we were going to be really close. And then obviously I get sent away from Garrick, Eileen and Ferris. We were going to vote together and I was like, yep, I'm in, we're sorted. This is great. I'm going to prove it with the vote and everything's going to be great. And then the twist of Tribe win, I was sending Kelly across. Now, should we have sent Kelly? Probably not, looking back on it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, like, obviously, Ferris is the only person that seems to actually be putting his hand up to a point. And even then, he's not actually putting his hand up. He's just debating it in his head.
Yeah.
So, like, you sort of, you've got to go with everyone. And I actually think it is in your best interest to keep Ferris around and let Kelly go sort of destroy yourself, pretty much.
100%. Wait, I think everyone at that tribal knew that we can't send Ferris across because of the key. Like, that just gives him such a big advantage. So that wasn't really an option, but no one else was willing to put their hand up. And I think if you, yeah, like you said, even if I had said, oh, I'll go, that's just going to be like more of a reason for them to think, oh, he just wants to go across and make alliances with other people. And that's going to paint targets. So you kind of have to go the majority in this one, I think, which was Kelly. And I wasn't too disappointed about that.
Yeah, I have two days off without Kelly. That sounds like, so this is a holiday for the next 2 days.
Literally, a holiday. So good.
What was the first night without a like?
Calm, peaceful, relaxing. And yeah, got to wake up and wasn't anyone screaming in my ear. It was lovely.
I just want to ask, like, what's the atmosphere around? Because now Kirby and Ferris both know that they're sort of gunning for each other a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere? Even though you don't have the Kelly energy, where is it a bit stale sort of at camp?
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember a little bit about this, if I'm honest. But yeah, I think at the time, I think Sarah and I had a little conversation. We were just starting to feel a lot better because we sort of felt in the middle of those two alliances going at each other now. I think that the trust had really been broken at this point, and Ferris was like, all right, we need to start targeting them. And it was nice to have someone that was like sort of needed you at that point, I guess, which was good.
Yeah, needed your number. And Sarah felt the same way. Like she was steering towards the Ferris side as well.
I don't know. I think, well, I can't claim to understand what goes on inside Sarah's head, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But I think she had sort of said that we were going to vote together, and therefore she was with me. If she was having different conversations with Rihanna at this point, I don't know whether she would have voted with us. But yeah, she proved later on in the game that she didn't quite understand what
was going on. Okay, now we do, talking about Rihanna and her challenge prowess, we see our first endurance challenge, and you're teamed up with Scott. You're back to back. And you guys outlast the Titans.
We did. And Scotty gave me a big help on this one because just before we were heading out there, I took my shirt off because it was like out in the water. I was like, okay, if I fall, I'm going to get wet. I'll do it without a shirt. He said, he actually suggested, dude, we should do this with shirts, more friction. So we put the shirts on and it did definitely help put the shirt on. So kudos to Scott for that strategy there. And then, yeah, we that was tough. It was a tough challenge, but we felt pretty comfortable throughout most of it, and I was pretty confident that we'd win that one.
Yeah, and you get toasties. Jeez, toasties and coffee.
Yeah, this is... boy!
What was it like having coffee after, where are we, 13 days?
Yeah, it was really good. I could tell there was a bit of heat between Kirby and I at the toasties because, being a hungry lad, I'm trying to get as much food as I possibly can out there. And I think I went in for my third before someone had their second. And I don't think Kirby liked that. So yeah, that we started having a bit of a bicker about that. I don't think it was too much, but we did. I definitely felt it. And then yeah, the coffee, mate. The coffee was so good, and we ended up having coffee in the morning as well. We even put some sugar that we had into the rice for a bit of sweet rice in the morning, and that was divine. That was so good. Nice little change up from the salt.
Yeah, a little bit of a dessert. Rice.
Yeah.
And then we, day 14, we got the hanging puzzle challenge where Kelly's over on the other tribe and she sits out. What is this feeling?
Mate, we had sort of said to her, we're like, you have to sit out the reward challenge so that you, we had assumed that she would do this, but that's a silly thing to assume. And she didn't sit out the reward challenge. And then she actually volunteered, you hear in the edit as well, she said, volunteered, should I sit this one out? And in her mind, genuinely, I think she thinks that that's sabotaging the other team because she thinks she's really good at everything.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't believe it, man. And we were all sort of like, just looking at each other like, what the hell? What's happened here? But yeah, luckily we won it anyway and I didn't have to go back to tribal.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you a bit of a breather. You kick their ass. And what was the response back at camp? Like, what was people talking about with Kelly not, like, sitting that challenge out?
Oh, it was... it was a relief first because I was, like, really stressed about going back to tribal. But then everyone, yeah, we were all just, like, shocked. I think it was just shocked, man. Like, we couldn't believe that she had sat it out. And I think everyone was just sort of feeling like... But she, has she turned? Has she gone over the tides now? Is she fully aligned with them? But we knew she was going to come back. And then as soon as she come back, she's just playing like the, you know, the dumb person that didn't really know what was going on. Oh, she didn't even do that. Sorry. She was saying that she orchestrated the Nathan vote.
Yeah. Yes, she did. It's her move, man. It's on her resume. But still, she gives you nothing. She gives you nothing. Like, she doesn't tell you about anything that's going on over there.
But I just think that nobody saw her as a threat moving forward. So there was just like no reason to get angry at her and vote her out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was obviously working with Kirby, so she had a bit of protection there.
Yeah. So like, obviously we in the edit, we get that she's not giving you anything from the Titan speech. No alliances, no nothing. Was there anything that maybe we didn't see?
I don't think she knew, honestly. Like, nah, we didn't get any information, mate. That was it.
Yeah. We also get Kirby. She's telling us that they don't sit with them now, and that it's like that it's well and truly tribal lines. You and Sarah are in the middle, got Ferris with his crew, Kirby with Rihanna and Scott, and now Kel are back. So you're feeling like this is just before swap, but you're feeling in a very good position right now. And are you 100% with Sarah, or you just still not sure where she's thinking?
Oh, I'm not sure exactly where Sarah's is, but I'm 100% now voting with Ferris. But Kirby didn't know that either, and that's why she says later on that I was always floating. She thought that I was, you know, potentially voting with them, but that was just me playing it up to them. I was like, yeah, I need to tell you yes, but I'm actually not. And I was dead set in with Ferris at this point, and I was really excited about that. And then Tribe sort of happens immediately after, unfortunately.
You need votes to gain trust.
That's yeah, it. You do. Exactly.
Because you could have been playing Ferris just as much, even if you knew you were 100% with him.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess once he had seen me vote, if he had seen me vote, it would have really changed his perspective. But I mean, after I told him as well that Kirby was going for him, I think that helped the case. I think he felt pretty comfortable with me at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Going down the track, like when you sort of come back to when you do get switched back to the over to the Titans, you can definitely see that he sort of it's a plus for him.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously needed me at that point, but at the same time, like I automatically felt like, yeah, all right, I'm back over here and I can have that straight away into a conversation and stuff. What I didn't, we'll get to that later, but I guess what I didn't feel like was how many conversations he was having with Kirby at that point. I didn't understand that because I hadn't seen their relationship at all and I was really confused there, which
we'll get into a lot of that later. I feel like that's a huge part of this season. But let's get into swap, man. Like, you were not given a good swap. Like, you've been on the bottom this entire time. You haven't had the chance to, like, make an alliance with anyone. And then you swapped into the same position pretty much.
Pretty much. That's exactly how it worked. At the time, I was like looking around like, great, we're going to win some challenges. We've got some big muscle here. And I was thinking, this is good. And then once we got back to camp, I was like, oh, gosh, this is actually a disaster. We're very much in a minority. And we had no idea where the alliances sat on the Titans. So not the best swap. I'm not sure if you already know about this, but there was a reward challenge at swap that they didn't show.
I did hear about that. I didn't know what it was, but so I was about to ask you.
Yeah. There was a challenge where you're tied up against two people, you're tied up against someone and you're trying to pull them away and then you grab a flag on the other side.
You're running away from each other and you just got to pull along the ground, like you're in a rugby union scrum.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. We won that as our new Rebels tribe, and we had a giant roast as our feast.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was like a proper fine dining roast thing. It had wine and all this fruit. It was unbelievable. And they didn't show any of it, which was crazy. I just don't know why.
And what connections did you sort of get there?
I wouldn't say a lot. We started to understand. We just started to meet everyone, really. And maybe that's why I didn't make the edits, because it was just a lot of conversation about everyone and how we're all feeling. But I think that the Titans were holding their cards very close to their chest. We couldn't really get a grip on where it all sat. And then I guess even when we got back to camp, they ended up voting against each other, but didn't keep me in the loop either. So, yeah.
It looks like you've got a bit of a connection with Mark throughout this next day. And we do have the gutter challenge in between here that I do want to touch on at some stage. But can you just quickly talk about sort of this first time with Mark?
Yep. So I think I build the relationship with Mark a little more after the Viola vote, but I think I'd had a couple of conversations and we just bonded like as humans. He's a really interesting fella. And I actually had a lot of chats with Eden as well. Eden and I had this sort of, I wouldn't even call it alliance, but it was sort of like this, these discussions where I was like, look, we're going to keep each other's names out of the vote. If ever our names come up, then we're going to try and steer the names away. And I think actually Eden did that in a few, but I can't know for sure. I obviously didn't have any legs to stand on with putting his name into a vote from where it was. It was a good deal to make anyway. If it worked for me, great. If it didn't, that's also fine. But yeah, I had a few chats with Eden and started to build some relationship with Mark. It wasn't until after the Viola vote though that Mark and I really, started making that plan.
Connected. Now, can you even pronounce that word that was your alliance name?
The Yucatan. Yeah.
So
he just said it in such a strange way. I actually understood what it was after. The Yucatan, I lived in Mexico for near on a year in the Yucatan. The Yucatan is like the state in Mexico. So once he had explained it to me, I was like, oh, okay. But it wasn't until like a day later that I was like, what did you say? What was the alliance called? It was actually a funny alliance.
That's an awesome name. But I had a great joke coming up. I was going to mock you. Like, you obviously don't take over for history teachers.
Yeah. I don't need relief for history. But it was funny because like when I did that confessional, they asked me, they were just like, do you know what the Yucatan is? And I played up like, I was like, what the hell is that? But like, that I told them straight after that we'd talked about Mexico and then but they used that part. So maybe, I love that. It was funny.
That's funny as shit. It was awesome. It was a great scene. Yeah. okay. So we do get this gutter challenge, that I just want to, like, obviously the rumors are that, you were actually supposed to just get it the whole way down the line. If you dropped, you had to start again.
Yeah.
And it obviously went for so long. Can I ask, like, do you know how long it went for?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't tell you, man. It was
just a long time.
Yeah. I'd say 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah. Who was, like, sort of the people failing on your team?
Oh, gosh. There was a few.
Yeah.
Caroline really struggled. Sarah struggled at the start. Sarah got it towards the end, though. She was getting the hang of it. Yeah, Caroline probably the worst, though.
Yeah, and she was after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so at the start, you could just chop and change. So at the start, you were just learning how to do it and you would come up and do the first one first, then you'd go back to the back. And then it wasn't until they changed the rules. I think they changed the rules a couple of times actually. And then at one point they were like, all right, you can, if you drop and start from where you are.
Yeah. It looked like a fucking hard challenge anyway.
Yeah. And it was, they kept making out like it was going to be hard, but you'd get it. And we just couldn't get it, man.
Yeah.
So tough.
Yeah. They got to remember, like, you guys haven't, like, eaten a whole lot, like, shitty sleep. Like, you got to, like, they, when they probably practice this, they're like fully 100% humans.
Exactly.
I want to just say, like, hats off to you for your strategy of throwing the girls under the bus. you really did. And you did it sort of in a way that you weren't, like, really throwing them under the bus, but at the same time, you were making it very clear that they were the people to go for if they were going to go for the Rebels. So I wanted to give my hat to you for that. It
was the only logical move in my eyes, mate. I felt like I didn't really have a lot of faith in CRE and I think I had to try and work with what I had.
And going into tribal council, you were going in with the tight and strong sort of alliance. Like you were going to vote for one of the girls.
Yeah.
And you end up voting for Rihanna. Yeah. But did you feel that shift against Viola at all?
Not at all, nah. I think the girls knew about it. Rihanna and Sarah end up being told from Kitty because they needed votes. I didn't know at all. I genuinely thought that either Rhi or Sarah was going to go home or I had been blindsided and it was going to be me. But I think this is where perhaps my conversation with Eden had helped me a little bit because I think he'd sort of said, if my name had come up, he probably would have been like, nah, let's go for one of the girls. And he would have said something along the lines of, hey, we can use him in challenges or something like that. So, I think that's what happened.
Nah, definitely, definitely. Now, at this point in the game, you have not voted correctly. can I, other than obviously Kelly going over as the saboteur, can I ask sort of that feeling, because you talked about it a little bit earlier, how you just feel like you didn't have legs in the game.
Yeah.
And like this is getting on, we're getting like to day 18 now, so this is over 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And you still like, is this getting to you where you're just feeling like shit, because you're such a competitive person.
Yeah.
That like you seem to be taking the losing well, but yeah, like is this starting to get to you?
100%, man. It takes a toll, and then you know every single time you go back to the beach, you have to reconsider plans, reconsider ideas, whereas other people playing this game, they are voting correctly. Like for example, Caroline, she voted correctly most of the game. She'd go back to the camp and be like, great, I know what I'm doing next. Now I've got to start the next plan on the next person and I'm not too much in danger. Whereas my experience was just so vast and different. It's just like survival mode the entire time. And that it's just taxing. It's just like really taxing on the mind, I think.
Obviously with Viola going home, is everything changed going back to camp? Because this is a blind side on Mark as well.
Yeah.
And obviously this starts you and Mark's friendship and alliance to a certain extent. But is this like, could you feel the tension in the air between the Titans?
Not at tribal. Like I still didn't really understand like where the alliance was sitting. And I didn't even know that Mark had been blindsided at this point. I was trying to figure it out. Once we got back to camp and then we sort of start to hear it all, you paint a picture, and then tomorrow, the next day, when Mark and I are having that chat, I'm sitting there going, far out, this is awesome. Now I'm going to be like, you know, I'll vote with Mark. And then he eventually tells me about his idol. And I'm like, all right, we're going to make this work. And then we're going to be in the majority. And that just felt so good, only to be stripped away literally another day later when Sarah blows it up.
Hey, take the high moments. Take the high moments, mate.
Yeah. It was a good feeling. I remember sitting there just thinking like, oh my God, we've got them. Like, there's no way that this can go wrong. If Rhi and Sarah stay strong, we're going to be sweet here. And yeah, it was a nice feeling at the time.
Yeah. Did you think possibly like you and Mark aiming at Kitty might have been possibly a reason why Sarah and Rihanna were so sort of skeptical? Because they seemed to have a bit more of a connection with Kitty than they did directly with Caroline.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. But at the same time, I thought that Rihanna and Sarah were on the outer enough that they would realize that this is a better option than going with them. I felt like Caroline and Kitty had a really good grasp of the game, and they were sort of controlling it. And if Rihanna and Sarah had realized that, okay, we've got an opportunity here to crumble them, and then we sit like much, much in a better position, I thought that they would figure that out. And yeah. Which
overestimated their strategic mind.
Yes.
Yes.
It was such a good plan. It was such a good idea. And then Mark did so well. Even when the girls blew it up initially and Kitty thought they were lying, he still just kept a cool head, quickly made the plan. It was such a scramble, that one.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, they say Survivor's a logical game played with the logical people.
It's a cool way of putting it.
So I just quickly want to touch on Valeria and how she responded on the mat when she found out Viola was out.
Yeah.
She seemed pretty upset, and obviously you're in the perfect position because you didn't just say, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
But how was that at the mat? It was a bit tense.
Yeah, well, I think it went silent for a little bit, and then I was able to say, like, I've actually got no idea. Ray laughs and says he believes that, which was quite funny because that was a little cheeky dig for the man. Yeah. But, yeah, and then I think Rihanna and Sarah kept their mouth shut and no one else said anything, and that was that, mate. She was not happy, though.
Yeah, definitely, definitely not happy. Okay, this is the cart and blank puzzle challenge, which you guys eventually lose. You must feel like the unluckiest person in the world, like going into this, because you're at the bottom again. You're actually on a good high at the moment. You're on a high.
Better at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Titans playing with you, three on each of the girls. Obviously, you know what's going on with Mark. The girls seem like they don't have great feelings towards Mark, but you seem to be managing that quite well.
Thought I was, yeah.
And it sort of looked from the edit initially that he didn't handle it quite well, but I'm assuming that probably wasn't the first conversation that he'd had with them.
That Mark handled
them. Yeah, he didn't handle them quite well, sort of directed it right after Tribal, directed it to him because he had such a quick time to speak to him.
Yeah, so he'd mainly got me to talk to those girls because, like, obviously I had more of a relationship with him and I was confident that they were with us, if I'm honest. He had a few little chats here and there, but nothing really strategic. But then the scramble happened so quick and the plans changed towards the end of the scramble really, really fast, and he had to sort of just, like, come in hot and heavy like he did, which obviously created a bit of fluster. And then... yeah, Sarah's moment, it haunts me because I'm just looking up at him and be like, if you go up there like and say what I've just told you, we're cooked. Like, that's it. We're done. Yeah. And the shocking thing was that she is the one that actually ends up voting with us and Rihanna doesn't. And, like, oh, God. Yeah, that was a hard one to handle.
That would have been a hard one to handle. Eden also calls this quite well at Tribal Council, switches it all onto Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we gather from the edit.
Yeah. I also thought that potentially, so Mark had told us about the idol. And I thought, because Mark was having a lot of conversations with those Titans still, like he had let on that he was working with us, obviously. And I thought that maybe he had devised his own plan to realize where the votes were going, play the idol for that person and then save them and then get one of them out anyway, which he didn't do. And I thought that he might have done that, but I guess he just wanted to protect his own game probably first.
Two more days in the game, mate. Two more days in the game. Yeah. Okay. Well, Sarah's gone. The Cuddle Crew is just you now.
Yep. Just me. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. The Sexy Six doesn't exist, and it's just a single, you're cuddling yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who are you lying next to at this stage of the game? Like, is there...
I actually set up a single bed, and it's... on my own palm fronds, about midway up the shelter, lying sideways. Everyone else was up and down. I was sideways. Yeah. I was pretty happy I was finding some good sleep at this point in the game. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what was the sleep like? Like, as soon as it goes dark, you start going to sleep, and then as soon as it's light again, you're sort of waking up, or?
Yeah. So there's not a lot of time. There's not a lot to do once it gets dark, if I'm honest. Like, you're just there and everything's pitch black. So you'll have a bit of a chat. You might, you know, I think we did a bit of singing every now and again, but that was about it. Yeah. Play some games. And then you fall asleep, and then you're just up three or four times a night trying to hope that it's sunlight. Like, you just want the night to be over. That's about it. The first 7 days, and then we'll get to it soon, but just after merge, we're definitely about 3 or 4 days just after merge, and the first 7 days were definitely the hardest for sleeping for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this fucking awesome challenge, the holding the rings with the barrel challenge that you fucking beasted, and obviously Jaden beasted even more.
Well, I reckon, I'm not even kidding you, man. The edit makes him look very good there. I reckon I held those two barrels for longer than him. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Fuck it.
They cut me out a lot, but I think because he's the strong man in the game, they needed to show him holding it. I would, if I was to count the minutes of double barrel held, I reckon I'd be in front of him.
Good on you. That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Mentally, that must make you feel like a fucking beast.
It does. I felt like I was felt awesome, man. I was like, I have seriously contributed here, and I actually, like, I had a couple of little, like, slips and stuff, but other than that, like, I was dealing with the pain so well, and I was like, man, I'm sweet here, eh? So yeah, that was a good feeling, that one, and getting the win meant, you know, we're safe for another 2 days. That was a really good feeling.
Yeah, I bet, because now it's sort of at this point, like with Ariana reasonably close with the girls and obviously voting with them,
yeah,
and Mark is sort of in and out with them, like you're realistically the only other option.
It's panic stations for me right now, that's for sure.
So even though you get a few days off, so Garrick goes home at this stage, and then you've got another immunity challenge where you see Garrick going home and you say that you guess that Kirby's gotten in bed with the Titans.
Yep.
And you were correct.
Hold it, yeah.
Was you starting to worry about, like, maybe not having friends at Merge at this stage?
Oh, man, at this point in the game, I'm thinking, like, just ahead of me, eh? I wasn't even, like, I obviously had thought about Merge and was really hopeful to get there, but I just wanted to get there, man. I wasn't really thinking about who I was going to line with at the end of the game. I just wanted to get there. But, yeah, I knew that I still had Ferris, that I could always go and knock at his door, and I knew that he was with Eileen still and Ray. So there was some numbers there, and then you just had to wait and see who would be left. There's no point planning more than, you know, 4 or 5 days ahead at any given time, I don't think.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair until you're getting right close to the end.
Yeah.
Sort of pointless. Okay, then you got this next immunity challenge, which is the long rods and the balls. You and Mark were together, and Mark was really struggling with this. Yeah.
I ended up dropping the ball, but he was really struggling to get on that thing. And then Jaden with the six shots at the end, which was chaos, man. That was unbelievable. And that was another one of those celebrations where I felt like I'd won the granny. I was just like over the moon, and yeah, that was sick.
Fuck yeah. And another 2 days where you don't have to get a tribal council.
I think there was a point where Rihanna was a bit worried that, because you had to hold the thing above a certain point, you know, on the rod at the end. And I think there was a point where she was like, I'm not sure I was holding it above or not. And I just said, like, just celebrate. It's fine. Like, just go. And we just started picking her up and jumping her out. And then they didn't call any foul or anything. That was through. I was stoked.
Fuck yeah. That's sick. Oh, man, that would have sucked. Like, especially after that performance. okay, so Charles ends up going home on the other side. Now tell me about Jaden's gym. Were you a regular goer of Jaden's gym?
Oh, I was at the start. I went a few times at the beginning of the jungle gym, but we're on Survivor, mate, and we're not eating a hell of a lot, so I wasn't wasting too much energy. The man was crazy though. He would literally go and do gym sessions there. Like, he would spend the mornings just, oh, he's a funny man, Jay. That's probably, surely the only Survivor gym there ever has been.
Yeah. That's it. But after 5 days off, things are pretty good. 5 days would have been a very nice relief for you after sort of how you've been since you threw the challenge.
Yeah.
But you've got this A-frame challenge. And I just want to say, you lasted the longest out of the boys and you were fucking killing it, because you're reasonably close to my height. And I think about me on that challenge and leaning down like that at the top, that would have been a bitch. And it was the sweat that got you.
The sweat was terrible, man. I couldn't believe how sweaty it was. But I don't want to keep pumping my own tires up here, but I will, because my foot did not go below that line, and I'm 100% certain of it, but they called me out because, like, they must have known that I was not going to be out there for as long as it goes. And I'm glad they did, because, like, they lasted way longer. Like, I'm talking half an hour longer than I did, and I was cooked. But I'm telling you right now, they looked after my safety there, and they said, like, you went below the line, and I definitely didn't. But I was near on out anyway. I'm just real gritty. Like, I hate losing, and I was doing everything I could to stay in, but they could just, I think they were just looking out for my health. They were like, let's just bring him down.
Yeah, cool. And, like, you don't need to pass out up there, mate.
Yeah.
We want to see you come back for a returning season. We don't want you to die on Survivor. Okay. No, that was cool. Like, Eileen obviously takes the win, which is obviously what she needed, but unfortunately that sent you guys back to tribal council.
Yeah.
And obviously you're going in and you're a bit nervous because there's not a whole lot of other options. but you and Jaden seem pretty in the dark going into the vote. Who do you think you were voting for at this stage? Were you going in there to vote Rihanna?
Yeah, I think I was just like holding on to hope that they would get rid of Rihanna so I could still be, you know, helping in the challenges a little bit more. But I was stressing big time at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially after Rihanna was the longest in the challenge, that probably sort of doesn't help because of the she's just an endurance beast.
Exactly.
But how was that feeling when JLP's like, there's a twist?
Yeah, that was good. I was sort of praying for it. I actually thought that it was going to be something like Exile Island or something like that. I thought maybe they won't say it, and then you'll end up going there for a couple of days, for a day or two. That's what I thought. But when he said that you're going to draw rocks, anyone that's in the urn to go across, I was like, oh, get me a blue rock, man! Like, please. And then everyone else there, except Rihanna, was like, they were like, oh, we definitely don't want to go. And I sort of challenged that. I was like, look, I know that most of you are in a pretty good like position here, but it's a good opportunity to get across and like start making alliances across there. Like, you're going to go across and there's going to be someone that needs you on the other side. They're not just going to target you straight away. So I sort of said that to Kitty, and she just didn't have a bar of it. But I think it was great timing for my game. Really good timing.
Yeah, that was very, very good timing. Okay, we got this. We get the Like a Seagull on a Chip line, which I really liked. That popped out to me as well. But you seem happy to go, and so does Rihanna, obviously. You get the blue rock. Fuck yeah, going to the Titans, back with your boy.
Good. So good. We're off. Yep.
However, you got to wake up back with Kelly on day 24.
Yeah, that's the least of my problems now, though, because I just needed to find some new buddies.
Yeah.
Maybe even Kel was going to be one of my buddies. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you just got to latch on to anyone that'll have you.
Exactly.
And so you've come in at 11 or 12 at night. So obviously everyone's still asleep. So they don't see you till the morning.
Yeah. They do know that I've come in because I think they had to help me sort of find where I'm sleeping. But then, yeah, they don't actually we don't really interact until the morning. Sort of just said a little bit of a hello.
Yeah. Oh, we'll work this out when it's daylight, sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we've got Kelly's son's birthday.
Oh, God. Did you talk to Kel about this?
I did.
How was that?
That was, she seems very proud and she loved it. I did ask her why, like, you would then, after celebrating so much, would then bring up it's your dog's birthday as well.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I just had to, it's the truth that I had to put it in there. So I don't know how they showed it on the edit. It was probably worse than how it was in real life. But did she just like celebrate the son's birthday for ages and then bring up the dog's birthday?
It's just crazy, man. Like it was just so much carry on. Like, I'm all for wishing him happy birthday. I think it's really, really nice. It's great that you like thought about that. And then it was just carry on, man. She had like the flowers in the water, the stone monument or whatever it was, and just bring up the dog as well. Fuck. Oh god, she's a character.
Did one thing that we didn't see much of was did you give much of the information up that you'd learnt from the original, from the 2.0 Rebels?
I've sort of picked who I would give what information to. So I think I ended up telling Val a little bit about the Viola vote a little bit.
And Mark being on the bottom.
Yeah, Mark being on the bottom. What else did I say? Anything big? No, I think I shared a little bit, but I wasn't like, was more interested about my own game, and they weren't picking me too much about it. I don't think they really saw me as a threat coming across. So
Just because of the position that you've been in. And they could see who was getting voted out on the other side, which makes sense. So like you obviously gave Ferris a little bit, I'm guessing, because you seem to jump straight back in with him.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, I spoke to him a little bit. I think he somewhere deep down was a bit worried as well that at Merge I'd have more connections than him, though. I think that was on the back of his mind, is like, oh, what if he's actually like fucking us and just gonna jump back in with the OG Titans or something like that. But that was probably on his mind a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's definitely something to think about, because you definitely have it. This is also the pick the scroll twist. This is a good one. This is one of the best scenes. I'm sorry that you're sort of on the Joker end of it, but it was a great scene, man.
I'm just eating my dinner as well. Looking back on it, towards the end of the actual experience, he had said, he gave me that idol, and I knew that he had picked the idol up and given it to me and handed it to me, but I didn't actually think that he had seen it and tried to lead me to it at the time. So watching that back, I was a bit like, oh God, this is terrible. But I've said this to Shannon as well. I said, I think, it's hard to say this now because he's won, but I think that was one of the silliest moves to do in Survivor, to give somebody else an idol. I think the idols are really powerful when you're holding them. I think they can be used in other ways, but I think it was a risky thing to do. I mean, for all he knows, we end up voting against each other later on. Imagine if I use that idol and get him out. That looks so silly. So I thought that was a poor move at the time. And I said a lot of that in my confessionals, but that didn't really show. But
I quite agree with you. Having that information is great. This circumstance worked out really, really well for him. And he played it well. I also think Ferris is on another level when it comes to reading people. And obviously this worked so well, and he probably had Kirby in mind when he did it. I did say on the podcast, I was confused why he went to look for the idol. And then I reckon he's come up with this plan on the way there, because he's realized how big of a threat he shouldn't have gone. In the first place, he should have been trying to get connections with the other tribe going into Merge.
Well, they've spoken about this a little bit. I think Shannon did as well. If Ferris didn't choose the scroll and say Scott had gone, for example, and they find the idol, then it's really risky for his game. But when he realized that it was me and Eileen, that's probably when he went, oh, okay, I don't actually need this, because he just didn't want someone else to have it. That's why he chose the scroll, which I kind of get. But at the same time, I still think, if you've given up a meal and you're going to look for it and you find it, just take it.
And use it on just that direct next vote, and use it as a powerful tool and direct next vote to get it off your radar. But what was the feeling of having an idol, man?
Unbelievable. So exciting. I was over the moon. I literally felt like, oh my God, I've gone from being completely on the bottom to now having an alliance and an idol. I was like, and this is one of those those highs we're talking about. You have your troughs, and then this was just one of the biggest highs. I felt like, far out, what an awesome experience this is now. I'm loving it again. I'm going to bloody win. This is so sick. That was a wicked feeling, and I had a bit of fun in the confessionals, which I don't think they showed, but it was sick.
How quickly did everyone know? Got around very, very quick.
It did. So I was trying to say to Ferris and Eileen, can't we keep this a secret? Why do we need to say who's got it? And then I saw a conversation with Ferris and Kirby and Scott in the water at Titans Beach, and it just looked very sus, and I was like, oh, okay, he's obviously telling Kirby, because he'd been having so many conversations with Kirby beforehand. And I was like, all right, well, that's that. Kirby knows, therefore everyone knows on this beach. And then I assumed that Ree would know once we had that water challenge. So then once Ree knew, everyone on the other side knew as well, I guess. So I whipped it out of the next challenge and had a bit of fun with it.
Fuck yeah, it was great TV, man. Fucking see. just showing it off. But this is day 25 is a very good day. So not only do you have an idol, but you guys lose this balls in the net footy challenge where Jaden sort of kicks ass. And Mark was obviously with his swimming. And Kelly goes home. Obviously Raymond's the original target from the other alliance. And how did you feel? Did you guys ever think about possibly working with Kel to flip it on the other alliance? Or
we did, but at the same time, you didn't have to convince me too much to vote her out, if I'm honest. Especially with heading into Merge, we all knew Merge was coming soon. I think we all sort of realized that someone like that at Merge is just going to be so
chaos.
And then, God forbid, in the villa, if anyone was thinking about that, As much as it would have been a very interesting double cross when we if we got Kellon and voted out of Kirby or someone, I don't think it was the right play, and it wouldn't have been good longer term, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't. And Kelly, unfortunately, is very unpredictable. But at the same time, they're trying to flush yours and Ferris' idol. So Kirby's trying to do the triple play here. And did you feel the pressure?
No, I didn't at this point because I was pretty... Kirby had also, although she had said, we're going to vote for Alex, she had also, talked about Kelly in a way that was very clearly truthful. Like she had a devious side and like a little bit like mysterious. And then there was just this, she is just absolutely blown up here. And there was like a scene that was missed on camera. I wasn't there either, but I heard about this scene where Kelly just lost it. She lost the plot, absolutely started spraying everyone. And Kirby was just like, yeah, she literally said openly to everyone, she's like, I can't have her in this game. We need to get rid of her. And then she came up with this lousy, like, we're going to try and flush Alex's idol. And that, like, it just didn't feel like truthful at all. But it did continue for like four or five tribal councils after that. And you only saw it about four tribals later. But it happened every tribal. Every single tribal from then on out, there was talk of me getting votes. And I just, like, just didn't play it. There was one time as well where I turned around when they called the idol to pull up my water bottle and had a drink, and then everyone thought I was playing the idol, which was a very funny moment that Raymond actually loved as well. Yeah. They didn't make the edit either. But yeah, it was going on for ages, that idol flushing. It really was.
Yeah, no, definitely. How you talk about Raymond, man, I can just tell your love for Raymond coming out of the game.
Yeah, man, he's just like a genuinely... like nice, kind-hearted person, and he'll say really, really nice things here, but then he's just weird and different.
Yeah,
but like, he's a cool dude. Like I've caught up with him recently, and I really get along with him. We have amazing chats, and yeah, he's an interesting fella. Like as I said, we come from different worlds, but it's nice to hang out with someone that is from a different world. I guess it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so all right, so Kelly's gone. Goodbye to Kel. Kel's gone.
Big Kel. Buddy, get out of here.
Okay, we then see, I have a feeling this happened a bit earlier, but we then see the conversation you have with Valeria about Mark. I'm assuming, did you do this to sort of get on her good side because you knew the connection that she had with Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking to build relationships everywhere I could find them. Sorry, and I knew that she was well close to Mark, and I thought that there's definitely a chance if Mark comes across that we're gonna need that number, whether that was with Ferris or against Ferris. It ends up being against Ferris later in the game, but yeah, I just wanted to try and build alliances or relationships where I could, and Val was one of those.
Ironically, you vote against Val and Mark over the next two tribal councils.
Yeah.
But let's talk about merge, man. You made it. You're dateable, bro. You're dateable.
Dateable. Yeah, no, that was a sick feeling. Rocking up to the challenge, you could see all the different colors, and I was like, oh, okay, this is happening now. And then when he announces it, that was a really good feeling, man. That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
Big survivor bucket list tick.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah. Then we've got this reward challenge, the 60K set for life. Oh, this would have been a hard one to lose.
Yeah, man. I certainly had my eyes on the prize on this one. I was very focused from the get-go, but just couldn't get the job done, mate. Going up against the dancer, it's always going to be tough, I think.
So in the merge... you're sort of going back to camp for the first time. Your loyalties are obviously with Ferris, not so much Mark, but you're still obviously keeping that open with Mark.
Yeah. You got to work with, at the time I thought that Ferris was the man that I would be, working with longer term at the moment. So that was who I was more aligning with, but you kind of have open doors everywhere. It's not like you're closed. Like even with Kirby later on, I'm still trying to open that door. You know, it's never like completely shut.
Yeah, you got to keep the foot in the door just to stop it from closing. Yeah. Were the groups like pretty sort of outlined going into merge? Like, could you see sort of because obviously to the next day in theory, Kitty's going home. Do you see those lines being drawn?
Man, if I'm honest, like having not really been on the vote much throughout the whole game, and then there being 14 people back at the beach, it was really tough again. Like trying to understand exactly where it all lied. I mean, it makes it look really easy on the edit, and maybe it is for other contestants, but I won't lie that I was standing there like, everyone's having conversations with everyone. Like there's not anyone that isn't having a conversation with somebody else. And it's really difficult to understand exactly where the lines are, if I'm honest. I found it really challenging anyway. And that's probably because throughout the entire game, I hadn't really had a solid home. So yeah. I was constantly like on edge that maybe, you know, even if the person that I'm working with that I'm confident with, maybe they're fucking, you know, screwing me and they've got a different plan. So I was on edge most of the time. Straight after merge. That was really tough.
Definitely. And ironically, my next question for you is, what was it like sleeping on such a big tribe? And I know you brought this up earlier.
Yeah. After merge, it rained for like 7 days straight, man. It was so wet and the shelter was not big enough for 14 people. We were scrambling to be under there. There was so many times where like we were just like the wind was blowing the rain in and everyone was just getting wet. Oh, it was really tough. There's not enough room in the shelter, man. We built it for 12 and then it was 14 there.
Yeah, bloody hell, that would have sucked. Like, and because you're on the bottom, like obviously they talk about whoever's in the middle of the shelter is usually the person on the top. Did you find that you were like pushed to the side a little bit?
I don't think our season was like that. Not at all.
That's awesome. That's sick.
I don't think there wasn't like a hierarchy of if you're in a better position, then you get the better spot in the shelter. I don't think that's what it was like. We all respected each other enough that we all, as humans, wanted everyone to be warm as best you could. So we just sort of rotated a little bit. I think even people like Ray and Ferris were happy to be on the outside, maybe because they were going out and having more secret chats at night. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I never felt like there was a, oh, you're, you know, the bottom feeder, off you go, you can sleep on the outside. That's not really how our cast was.
Nah, that's sick. That's really cool. And we're getting that sense as fans. We're getting that sense after the season.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I do, obviously, I'm going to ask a bit of a downer. But obviously, I'm guessing the rain definitely attributed to this. But Scott...
Yeah.
Where's Scott's head at over these last few days? What are you feeling from this?
It came as a bit of a shock to me because, you know, he was such a fun-loving sort of person all the time and we were always laughing. And, it was a bit of a shock. But what I will say, though, man, is this game is incredibly difficult and it can change in a heartbeat. Like, I went after Tobias went home, I said I had a really down point. I had to go and have a little bit of a cry myself. And then for Scott, he's obviously, you know, he likes Kitty, he likes Kirby and stuff, and he doesn't want to backstab anyone. And then obviously it comes out. And then when you pile that up with the situation, the psychological stress, the rain, the wind, the no sleeping, the hungry, the no food, like it can just build up really quick. And then it obviously just got to a point where he was like, you know, this isn't worth it for me. And I think that he was missing home enough that he realized that if he made it a few more tribals or even one more tribal, he didn't know, then it's another like 3 weeks away from family because he would come to the jury villa, even if he gets voted out then. And I think that was the point where he was like, I don't think I can do this. So it was, it was really down. It was really upsetting. But at the end of the day, like we're humans before we're game players. And I couldn't stand there and try and, vote for someone else to better my own game if somebody else wants to go home. And this is exactly what happened with Raymond. I couldn't vote for Raymond. I couldn't not vote for Raymond when he was doing the whole performance because, that's just not who I am, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's very commendable of you.
I get obvious... it as a game. I get the sneaky stuff like this should go on. I respect the game enough that that's also fine.
Yeah, definitely. We can pretty much just jump ahead now. Like, we don't really need to talk about the leg extension challenge. Winner wins, blah, blah, blah. Kitty's the target. Everyone versus the middle-aged mafia. And Scott sort of Scott obviously quits. I think he handled that very, very well. Well said, man.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
Okay. Then we've got the next 2 days. I'm not exactly sure the timeline here, but we've got the next 2 days. So days 28 and 29. And yep. This is the knots on the rope hanging challenge. And this is where you wait for everyone else to choke going up to the last knot. And then you try at the end.
Well, my plan was like, I knew that I wasn't going to last in that rope. I jumped up and had a little go at it. And I was like, oh my God, it's so painful. So I was like, I'm not going to last very long on that. So I thought, bugger it. I'll wait. Hopefully Rihanna and Eileen slip on the transition. And then I can just have a quick jump up, use my upper body strength to just hold me there for a little bit. But yeah, I actually think it was a good strategy. It was the best strategy that I had. And then obviously it didn't pay off.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair enough. How big's your feet, man?
Oh, size 12, 13?
Yeah, fuck yeah, same size as mine. Fuck, that would have been a bitch. Like, that looks so small. It looked like you could hardly get a toe on it.
Yeah, legit. It was torture, man.
Yeah. Okay. Now, obviously, online, there was a lot of talk about Rihanna and tape on her hands. was this a thing out there?
No. I'm going to say no. It wasn't a thing, man. Like, the girl was... She was super injured. Her hands were cut up real bad from the rope holding challenge, the one, the Eileen one. Yeah. And I think she just kept getting them bandaged and stuff. And I don't have any qualms, man. Like, I don't actually think that the tape's going to assist that much. My hands weren't in pain. So, like, I don't think it was going to, yeah. And at the end of the day, man, like I said, I'm a human before I'm a game player. If she does get an advantage from that, so be it. Like, yeah. I'm a competitor. I don't really care. Focus on my own game. But I don't think it would have given her much of an advantage, if I'm honest.
No, like if she was in that much pain, yes, she might get a bit better friction, but she's still in pain because she's hurting underneath it. So I feel like it sort of evens itself out.
All I'd say to that, to any of the Rihanna haters, is she is an absolute beast. And I couldn't beat her. And I don't think that was because of the tape. I think it was just because I couldn't beat her. She was just too good.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Good on you. That sucks that you couldn't beat her, but still good on you for understanding that. Okay, well, obviously, things change completely. So Kitty's going home like, what, 11-3, realistically. Scott quit, but just two more days and everything changes. Yeah. All of a sudden, we lose winner and you're kept out of the vote. Now, what are your feelings about this? Because you do vote with your tribe. You vote against someone that you're starting to make a relationship with. Mm. This must have been a bit of another low moment for you.
Yeah. I can't remember a lot about this one, if I'm honest. I just remember being like, fuck, what's happened again? Yeah.
You're very forgiving.
Yeah. Well, you have to be.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. But, if I'm not forgiving, where do I go from
there? Exactly.
There's nowhere to go. But like, I can be like, oh, that's it. I'm coming for revenge. Like, that just doesn't work in my situation. So you kind of have to be, but. Yeah, I mean, for some reason, they didn't trust me enough to bring me in on that vote. But yeah, I don't know what's going through their heads there. I can't really give much there.
Yeah, and they're pushing your name, so they're obviously like trying to get your idol out. But you're confident that it's not you.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think that's actually where I bought the water bottle out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jaden would have liked that.
I think Raymond liked it the most. He was like, "That was unbelievable. That was so cool."
Perfectly timed. Okay, then we've got this next reward challenge. This is the where you've got to fill up these buckets. You got to throw buckets of water into another bigger bucket to drop a gate, and then you've got the monkey fist. You lose at the monkey fist, and Mark wins this and takes Valeria, Kitty, and Caroline. Did this set alarm bells off in your head and in everyone's head?
In everyone's head, yeah. I think after what had happened the day before. I'm pretty sure that he was trying to get Caroline out, wasn't he? And then he's ended up taking her.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, I think there was definitely alarm bells going on everywhere. I was spewing in that challenge. Poor Caroline, like she was in our group, and me and Eden were just like praying she could get it. But yeah, I think Eden was really dirty because he probably would have had the puzzle between the three of us.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think Mark taking those, he had made a pact with Valeria and Kitty that when they were in the final three going on the puzzle, that they would all take each other. So there was a little pact made there. So the first two were not really surprised. And then he took Caroline as well because I think he wanted to mend the middle-aged mafia. But yeah, he's obviously done well. Like he's a really good talker, Mark. And I mean, kudos to him for getting it done, I guess.
Yeah, because like Caroline doesn't seem like the most forgiving person.
No.
And yeah, somehow getting that organized is just, you got to take your hat off to the guy. Bloody hell.
Yeah, you definitely do. I tried to do later on in the game a little bit with the spa, try and get Kirby back on side. And that was just dumb as.
You got to go do diplomatic shit. Like, I know. Just be a diplomat and then you would have killed it. You would have killed it and Kirby would have taken you to the end.
We would have been unsolvable.
Yeah, exactly. okay. So your relationship with Mark here, you're not too sure about. You're sort of on opposite sides and you're obviously feeling this Titan versus Rebels is starting to heat up again. So now we've got Jaden wins this next challenge, the Idol and Long Pole. He's obviously got a bit of is a bit angry about the winner vote.
Yeah.
Titans make a plan and the Ferris and Caroline alliances are supposed to split the vote. But the cheeky thing is they're going after Raymond. Oh. And Ferris finds this out in Tribal Council. Now, you'd obviously sort of, you'd seen what was going on and you obviously get up to talk to Ferris, so you see that something's going on.
Yeah.
Was this just a great call by Ferris or like a fluke almost? Or was this just pure his skill at reading the game?
I think that we had actually... Eve's name had been dropped at camp. I'm sure. We had dropped the name at some point about Eden, and then we sort of said, like, it's not the right time. And then, obviously, he's read it really well at Tribal. I've got up and just said, what the hell's going on? And he said, like, well, we're going to Eden. I was like, all right, yep, I'll back you. And then, yeah, it was... What I noticed was it was a very easy dynamic between Kirby and Ferris to read at this Tribal Council. They were very clearly happy to work together and therefore Rihanna. And I was like, all right, this is probably where the numbers are then. So we're going to go there. And then it ended up working. So,
okay. But day 32, we have the auction. Now, this is a high point for you. Unfortunately, we don't get to see this at all. And Raymond shouts it out online, which is just great. I'm glad that he did that because otherwise a lot of us wouldn't have known. But so can you explain what exactly happened at the auction?
We head into the auction and JLP says, all right, the next item is a letter. So all of our letters are on the table and he says, and we start betting and I was bidding against Caroline. And I, like I said to you earlier in this interview, I said, I just needed some love, man. And I'd said it at the last challenge as well. When the car came out, JLP said to me, he asked me, which didn't make the edit. He said, what are you hoping for today, Alex? I said, oh, some love from home would be lovely. And then the next one, I ended up getting the letters. So yeah, I bought my letter for like $380 or something, I think it was. And then I took the letter and then JLP says, look, I'll give you a chance. If you'd like to buy the rest of everyone's letters for the rest of your money, you can do that. And it was just a no-brainer. Like, you're not going to not do that.
Yeah.
So, I bought everyone's letter. I got to hand them all out. It was a really emotional moment. We're all sort of like tearing up a little bit. And then, yeah, we go back to camp and we do the whole usual letter reading. Everyone sits around. Kitty had... You didn't see this at the auction either. Kitty had bought some cookies and she got like cookies that she got to take back to camp. So she was giving out cookies to everyone while we were reading the letters. And there was just a lot of tears, man. Like it was a really, really special moment. And I think it was more special for me as well. I don't want to say more special, but it was a little bit hit home because like I'd sacrificed a little bit of the money and like I'd, you know, really wanted this. I'd bet all like pretty much all my money to get my own letter and I'd skipped out on a meal and stuff. And yeah, it was a really special moment. Probably my favorite Survivor moment, if I'm honest. The one that I'll remember forever. And then we got to keep our letters and before every single Tribal Council, I would just get my letter because you go into like a little bit of a lockdown and then you're sort of just in silence. And I would just read my letter every day and I would like look at the photos and just start crying again. And that was, yeah, that was definitely my favorite Survivor moment. And I was cut. I was absolutely devastated when I didn't make the edit. I was sitting here with May, ready on the couch watching it. And she was all excited because it was like her letter and stuff. And then they just skipped it. And I was just like, oh no. I was gutted, man. I was absolutely gutted. I text Simon that day actually, because we'd spoken a little bit about the roller coaster of it all. And I said, it was, this is probably one of the worst that I've felt. I was gutted. Absolutely spewing.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bug. Is there anything that stands out from the letter? Anything that was said that stands out?
Oh, I think the one moment I think I said it in the 10 play extra, if you've seen it, is the moment I read May's part. So you get, my mum had written part, my brother had written a part, and my partner was called me handsome. And just like the first line is like, hey, handsome. And I still get choked up a little bit now thinking about it, man. Like, just because everything's so emotional there. Everything's like, everything's so hard. And then just to hear that voice in your head. It was wonderful, man. It was really, really nice. I also got a photo of my baby nephew, Hudson, who was born while I was out in Survivor. So I hadn't met him yet. I hadn't seen photos of him. And then that was the first time I got to saw a photo of him, was in the letter. So that was another very special moment as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute as shit, man.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck, now I'm starting to feel it.
Ah.
Bloody hell.
I wish Australia had seen it. I really do.
Yeah. I'm sorry that they didn't get the chance, and I'm sorry that May didn't get the chance.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay. Now we got the rope table balancing challenge, which Kitty wins, and Kirby gets with Caroline and votes against Ferris's alliance. So against you, you vote for Mark in this one.
This is brutal because Mark won at the auction another advantage.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Mark got an advantage where it said, if you can play this at any immunity challenge, and it allows you to double your chances of winning immunity. So essentially, you get to pick somebody that if they win, you also get immunity, right? Yeah. So because we were having conversations throughout the whole game, Mark and I, we were close buddies. We weren't necessarily always in the right alliance together.
Yeah.
But he came up to me and said, look, if I played this advantage for you, and like, would you still try as hard as you could? And I said it in when I voted for him, I said, like, I really did try to win that immunity challenge because he played it for me.
Yeah.
And if I had won, we both would have got immunity. And I did genuinely try and win that challenge for him. Yeah, like, it would have been easy if we'd, both had immunity. But I didn't get the job done. And that's ironic that I ended up voting for him that
day. Right after. But, and it's a shame we didn't get to see that because like, I really did try.
I really did try and save it. That was quite ironic.
But Eileen's gone. You know you've hit jury because she's on the jury now.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you're excited now. You know that even if you get voted out, you go back to a nice hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been a great feeling. Not only are you dateable, but you also made jury. Not everyone can say that, especially in Australian Survivor, because a lot of people don't make jury even after making merge. But on day 34, shit hits the fan. It's proof Kirby and Ferris are together.
Yeah.
And you pick this up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was very obvious. So I had actually thought genuinely that Ferris, and I still have a sneaking suspicion that Ferris knew about the Eileen vote. I actually thought that like he was happy to let her go if it meant getting really in with Kirby because then he had his big shield there. So I was a bit concerned that, and I said this at the next tribal council, like I called him out on it, and that's where I say the line about his ass in his mouth. But yeah, I thought that he knew about it. And then when we came back after Eileen vote and he was dancing around and all happy and Larry, and there was no feeling of resentment towards Kirby or anything. And then he goes off to the well with Jaden and Kirby and the rest of the gang. That's when I was like, okay, this is not good. I'm in that alliance, but I'm not really in that alliance at all. And I thought, fuck it, let's find a new one. And, I'd obviously been having conversations with Mark and stuff. So I was like, let's try and dive in there. And they needed me. Like at the time, they were like, yep, we'll bring you on board. And it wasn't until I played the idol for Valeria that I really gained her trust. And it's really in. And then, yeah.
Well, yeah, they say you don't want to flip unless you're in a twosome, but it was you and your idol, and you flipped with it, and the trust was made.
Exactly. Yeah.
This was a very interesting one. So this is the upside down rope challenge, and you only just lose to Rihanna, and as per the edit, it looks like she's struggling a lot as well.
She was really hurting, if I'm honest, and I thought I was going to win. And then she just ended up staying longer and longer and longer. And then when we went down the rope, then we went back up a rope, which made it harder.
Yeah.
And when we went back up, like, I was cooked, man. I had about 2 minutes left in me, and that was the hardest one for me, that challenge. That was brutal.
Just because you were so close to winning, or just much of a bitch of a challenge it was?
It was just long as well, and I generally thought I was going to win. There was this whole mentality, like, this is it. I'm finally going to get that necklace and stuff. And then, to be beaten, I just couldn't hold on, man. My legs were cooked. It wasn't really the hands. The hands were all right. It was the feeling of the legs just completely gone, and it was really painful.
Yeah, no blood in them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you obviously lose. Now, in this, you've obviously flipped. You've flipped ahead of time. Kitty is heading towards Kirby, but Raymond's starting to sort of talk to you and starting to suss it out. So could you explain a bit more about how you played that whole situation? Because you did it really well from the looks of things.
Yeah, so first things first is, you didn't see this, and Mark will back me up here. I knew that Kitty wasn't with us, and I told that to Mark, and we had a big chat of the world on account, like, a camera was there and everything, and I was saying, I don't think Kitty's with us. I saw them having a conversation with with Kirby and Rihanna very intensely this morning. I'm certain that Kitty's not with us. He's like, no, she's just buttering him up. Like, Kitty's definitely with Caroline. It's 100% in, all good. And then when we got back to from Tribal Council after Kitty had flipped, I said to Mark, I told you, and he was like, dude, I did not see that. Well done. 100%. So I picked the Kitty one, and he'll back me up there, which is nice. And Raymond, this had been the first time that I'd seen Raymond feel any sort of distance from Ferris. He was still with Ferris, but at the same time, I don't think he was too happy about how he had just not given a shit about Eileen going home. It was just sort of like, oh yeah, Eileen's gone. Ferris doesn't care. And I think maybe Ray felt that, oh, am I disposable too? So maybe that's why he decided, like, okay, I'm just going to play my own game for a little bit. I don't think he wanted to lose Ferris. And that's why he said, I'll vote with you guys as long as I'm not writing Ferris's name down. Yeah. But he obviously wanted to try something. And I think I respect Ray for that. And it was good that we could get him over the line.
Yeah, it was. And he obviously gives you the information that they're going for Valeria. So you're able to play that for Valeria. Yes, that obviously Ferris and Kirby, they read this and they work it out. Good on them. And
too slow, though. Poor Rihanna to get the information.
Yeah, exactly. But Rihanna's also in the worst spot. Sort of can't give it to that, because if you're trying to tell from that side, then they could have let you on, that they've changed the vote. Then all of a sudden you change who you play the idol for. Yeah. So it's sort of... It's that's just sort of, it's not even human error. It's just unlucky, unluckiness, I think, on their part there. But you get Raymond there and Jaden goes home.
Yeah.
This is a big win for you.
Massive win. It was funny, actually. So I was obviously feeling on the outer again, and I was chatting to Jay, because Jay and I were close. We were friends as well, but obviously not in similar.
Not strategic friends.
Yeah, it's just good buddies,
Yeah.
And, he said, I was just chatting one day. I was like, mate, what would you do in my position? As a joke, what would you do if you were? And he says, he's like, dude, you're not the plans guy. You don't make the plans. You just got to listen to someone else and you'll be fine. And then the next show cancel, you get sent home. And I was just like, yes. It's like, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. I am the plans guy. I'm
I
in am this.
The plans guy. I made the plans. I made the plans. You're going home. It's like, that was funny as hell. Yeah.
That is funny. And dude, congratulations on voting correctly.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, you did very, very well there. And yes, the unluckiness might have made a change. It would have been very interesting if Rihanna did get the information. And it was...
I would have looked very silly.
Look, I actually dis... I disagree because I think it could have gone one of two ways. Yes, I don't think they're going to Rocks for you, but I also don't think that like Ferris and that are going to Rocks for Jaden. So I feel like there's going to be a few people flip on the revote and it could go any way. Like it genuinely could go any which direction because someone could have gone home or it could have matched evenly on the revote accidentally. And then all of a sudden you've got to make an unanimous decision,
yeah.
but Ferris and Kirby don't want to give up power. Mark and Caroline don't want to give up power. So it almost like no one actually sort of decides on anyone.
Nah, it wouldn't have got that far. Cause if it went to Rocks, I would have been safe.
Jaden would have been safe.
Jaden would have been safe. And then Valeria had the idol, so she was safe. And who had immunity? There was one.
Kitty had immunity.
Kitty had immunity. Yeah, four Kitty of us immunity. Are safe, which puts it down to a...
Oh, no, Rihanna had immunity, sorry.
Yeah, Rihanna. So it's like a one in five chance or something. It just wouldn't have got there, I reckon.
Yeah,
like,
but at the same time, it's also like no one wants to give up any power, so they're sort of almost like... I don't see that whole group making a unanimous decision.
Oh, it would be amazing. That would have been crazy.
Like, chances are it probably does, but I just I just don't see how that swings.
You're just fantasizing here.
I'm fantasizing, man. That would have been sick TV. Not to mention it would have been like the first time like going to Rocks in so long. First time in Australian Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was cool. Anyway, I really liked how you played this. Unfortunately, this is pretty much the start of your downfall.
Yes.
Because you're against Kirby. Very clearly.
Hmm.
Can you say the line now? The one that you said to Ferris?
I think his ass gets jealous the amount of shit his mouth talks.
Fucking comedy gold. That's good. Have you thought about being a comedian?
I've actually wanted to at times. I have. Yeah. I was in Bali once and I went to a comedy gig and I pulled up on stage and had a bit of a run, which was fun. But yeah, I think one day I might have a crack at it.
Yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. Okay, here we have the slingshot name challenge, which you win.
But
yeah, Raymond started acting sick at camp before this, and you take Kitty, Valeria, and Ferris. Can you tell me about that and tell me about your reasons behind taking those three?
Bring Valeria because she was second last in the challenge, just played an idol for her, kind of have to. Ferris mending that relationship because obviously a big player, you want to have big players in your alliance. So figured I might be able to work with that. And Kitty, just to see, because Mark and I discussed this, we wanted to bring Kitty back in because Kitty grovels. So as soon as Kitty grovels, it's like, all right, let's bring her back in. And that's an extra number in our alliance. So that was the plan there.
Yeah.
Which actually, when we did the high T, genuinely thought that was all going smoothly. The high tea in my experience was very different to what Australia experienced. We had a great time. Everyone was laughing, carrying on, and I all thought that we were making inroads and stuff. Obviously not the case. Ferris was not buying it, and that's obviously lack of judgment on my end. I moving to the Ray thing. Obviously, I don't necessarily agree with the whole playing off the mental health thing, the depression, but at the same time, I understand that this is a game and I really respect players that go above and beyond to try things. But I just, there's just no scenario where we vote, where we can't vote for Ray, because if we do and it's not a strange advantage like this, then the jury members hate us, right? Yeah. Like you're the guy that didn't vote for the guy that was sick. So I think that the advantage was designed to work and it did work. I think that what we could have, like normally if something was to happen like this, there could be like an idol in play and you might do something that Eileen does where you put one vote elsewhere just to cover all bases, which would have been amazing if we had sniffed that out. But I think Ferris playing the second role and getting everyone to talk and it was well played and they obviously got the win. I think I can't believe the Kirby giving the necklace to Rihanna didn't spark any alarm bells. I thought like I kind of believe that maybe Mark or myself or Kitty or Caroline didn't pick up on that and maybe just put one vote elsewhere. But going back to it again, you're then that guy that didn't vote for the sick guy. So
exactly.
You're bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, that's like a really hard spot to be in because, first of all, this has changed Survivor completely. So you have to quit or get your torch snuffed. Now it's no one's ever going to just put all the votes on someone. He played it the only way he could in the position he was in. If someone else got it, then who knows? Well, anyway, Valeria's gone home.
Oh, devil about that. That sucked.
And you are well and truly on the outs. But you win this bucket fill the tube challenge.
Oh, no.
And here is the demise of Alex.
Yep.
Okay. Now, obviously, you sort of bask in the glory and you go back for another run to talk to Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark and I had said to each other, definitely don't bring each other, right? Yeah. If either of us winner, one goes back to camp, one goes to reward, and we split up and keep tabs on everyone. Which, looking back on it, I wish I had not done that. I wish I had just said, "Nah, Mark, we're going together. Let's create a really good plan. Let's talk with anyone else around. Let's bring two people that we're keen on. If it's Raymond and Ferris, then the Boys Alliance." I wish I had just done that, man. But I think the fact that I wasn't bringing Mark got in my head, and then I thought, all right, well, if Ferris and Ray are with him, he's really good at like getting them on side. That'll work. But then I left the other Kitty, Caroline, Kirby, Rihanna, and Caroline to bring, which was just so stupid, so stupid. Here I was thinking I'll put the wool over their eyes and then vote them out, and I just didn't have that skill, I guess. That's just the way it goes, mate.
Can I ask, were you a bit drunk, or were you like eating so much lasagna?
I was sick from lasagna. Yeah. I'd had like two or three wines, but I wasn't drunk. I certainly, the edit was because I was sick, not because I was drunk. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I did want to ask that question, but I'm probably going to take that out. That was more for me.
Yeah, no, it was a lot, man. Like, you just don't eat much, and then all of a sudden there's all this food in front of you. I just went nuts on it. And when they ask you before the show, they ask you what your favorite food is, and I put lasagna. So when I saw the challenge, I was like, oh, mate, this challenge is for me. I'm going to win this.
Yeah.
And then the lasagna I was so excited about, and I ate too much. Yeah.
Just too much cheese, too much tomato sauce, mate.
Pretty funny that I've had lasagna tonight, actually. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that worked out really well. I'm glad. All right, we can definitely put that in the edit.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is coming into day 38, which is your final day.
Yep.
Rihanna wins the stilts with the weighted rings challenge. Now, you are very good, and you come a very close second. This is where you full on lean back, like, dude, that was so cool to watch, man.
Yeah, it was a good moment. That was a really fun moment. And I heard later on that from production that everyone was watching, and then they just erupted in cheers when they saw me get back up. So that was a good note. But brutal challenge. We've seen it before with Harry. It was just so hard, man. So hard.
How long was it all together? Do you have any idea?
I couldn't tell you. It certainly wasn't like the 6 hours like that.
Yeah, but they made that harder. You're on
the bags were so much heavier. And I think that played into Rihanna's strength because she's lighter, so her bags would have still been a lot lighter.
Exactly. Yeah, how much do you weigh?
90 kilos.
90, so like what, 15%, 20% of you still 20 kilos pretty much, like 15 kilos, whereas her, she's probably holding 9, 8,
which is crazy. Yeah. I think it would have probably been about, I couldn't tell you, maybe 45, an hour, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you fucking, dude, getting up was so fucking cool, bro.
That was sick. And you don't see this, but like, I was down for like a couple of minutes. I went down and I actually like put my body in the water. So that took a bit of the weight, but then the bags are so heavy. So like, it only lasted for like a minute where it helped me, and then I had to get back up, and then pull myself back up. And I thought, oh man, if I win from here, this is going to be epic. It's going to be so sick. But then she was just a rock, man. Like, there was no beating her.
Yeah. Okay, going back to camp. She's got the necklace.
Yep.
And so do you think you've got Ferris and Raymond? Like, where is your sort of head at going into this tribal council?
Nah, so I told this on my exit interview as well. I was so convinced that I didn't have Ferris and Ray. They were just telling me what I wanted to hear. There was no way that Ferris was going to give up Kirby at this stage in the game. Like, he needed her as the big ship later on. So it was just too early for him. And I was just like, there's just no way. And it was an opportunity for him also to get out the second best challenge threat, you know, in me. So I was sitting there. He was telling me what I wanted to hear, but I was convinced that it was bullshit. And then when it looks like I get a glimpse of hope with Caroline, my thought process was like, if she's going to ask Ferris and Ray and they're going to say no, because what, they don't need to lie to her. Yeah. And then there's no reason that she would vote with us, yeah, without them. And then obviously she's having that conversation with Kitty and stuff. So yeah, I think the edit makes it look good, that it's still a chance. And I was defeated by this point, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And as the word that I was looking for Kirby at Tribal Council is very antagonizing.
Yeah.
She can very much make you angry while still looking like she's completely calm.
Yeah, she's good like that. But
she's very gifted.
Very interesting to see is once I had left the game, so I wasn't at the beach afterwards, but I watched it back on the edit, is watching her squirm a little bit after I'd had my full-blown tribal meltdown. Like, she was not her calm, cool, collected self. She was sort of scrambling a bit, which was kind of funny to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially such a cool, calm, collected person. It was very cool. And actually, I had to start the next episode off like that. I'm like, holy crap. Like, it was cool to see her squirm and to not be comfortable, because she's just been so comfortable this entire game.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was good. But can you tell me just that tribal council? You were just throwing shit at the wall and you just felt like you were just digging yourself into a deeper hole?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ever you're just digging yourself to get out of the game. I certainly didn't feel like I'm trying to get myself out more here, but I did feel like there was no hope left. And I was, throwing shit at the wall, I guess. And it wasn't intended to just bring Kirby down. What it was intended was to try and convince someone else to make a big move in this moment, but probably handled it in the wrong way. And I don't think in any of the other contestants there in their right mind should have voted with me in that moment. But like you said, man, it's logical people. It's a logical game with illogical people.
Right?
In that moment, I was... Yeah, irrational behavior, and I couldn't get it together. But I think even it wouldn't have changed even if I had it together. Like, I could have tried the whole whispers game and tried to convince, you know, Mark to get Ferris and round board, but there was no person there that would have shifted from the plan that they had, and therefore I may as well have shed some light on the truth and tried to get I guess even get the audience see me as that sort of person, which yeah.
It definitely happened, man. It was entertaining. It was very entertaining, Tribal Council. You went down in a ball of flames, mate. It was cool. Cool to watch. what's it like getting your shorts snuffed?
It's awesome. It's a good feeling. It's not a good feeling. I lie. It was actually, I was in the moment it happened, like when I realized that it was me and, you know, you get up and you do this, getting it snuffed. I was in just complete disappointment mode. And then you walk off and I'm like, I just felt like there'd been 38, 39 days of just like wasted time, like absolute pain, agony, discomfort for nothing. Yeah. That's how I felt at the time, but it all quickly changes. Like, you get a phone call with your loved ones almost immediately, and then you get to have a massive feed with all the other jury members. And I was just became really grateful for the experience, very grateful for my life, and started to realize that, like, this has just been a giant game. And once you sort of exit that game and go back to reality, it's like I'm blessed, man. I'm absolutely blessed. So it all sunk in pretty quick that it wasn't a big deal. But in the moment, like, all you're thinking about is, like, how much time you've sort of wasted. And you're also thinking, you shouldn't think like this, but you're thinking as well that, you know, I've lost $500,000 and how much good I could do with that money to my family, to my community, and to me as well. So that was the sort of feeling. But
yeah, very grateful for the experience still. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're very thankful to have had you on this season of Australian Survival.
Thank you, us as
fans, you were definitely a favourite.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, I've only got a few more basic questions. Obviously, we go through jury, and so Rihanna's out next. There's your challenge beast competitor.
Yeah.
That's pretty brutal for her. But where are you sort of thinking? Who are you thinking is winning? Sort of as you're leaving the game.
I said it as I left. I was Kirby was the one. She was playing the best. She had the wool over most people's eyes, and I was genuinely convinced that even if she didn't make another big move for the rest of the game, she makes it to the end, she's got my vote. She was, she was playing very well.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you still think that with Rihanna out, then Kirby gets out next. Kirby's out next. Kitty's out next. Kitty's out next, sorry. And then Kirby's out next at Final Five. So going into the Final Four.
Yeah, it's definitely Ferris at this point. I was hopeful for Mark. I really wanted Mark to get the win. I think we were probably the closest out of everyone that was left.
Yeah.
But I think Ferris was playing the best, and I knew he had an idol still. There was still so much confusion around his idol, even in the villa. They were all saying, like, he doesn't have one. I was like, he has one, I'm telling you. I thought that he was playing the best, and for him to get through and win, that was incredible. Yeah.
Well, dude, Raymond at Fire. That would have been cool. Like Fire, Final Four. That would have been, what was that like from the jury?
It was intense. But the start was horrific from both of them. Neither of them could start this Fire. Oh, me and Jay were having a good chuckle. We sort of said, like, how is this Survivor? Like Final Four, two people just couldn't get this Fire going. But Caroline eventually, with a bit of coaching, I think, from Mark whispering to her, got the chockies in the end.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick.
Very cool.
Hey, Final Tribal Council, huge moment. You're back in the game. You're allowed to talk again.
Yes.
And you obviously asked Caroline what a big move was after you left, and the answer wasn't really that great.
Yeah.
Because it was a failed move. Did you have any other sort of influence in that Final Tribal Council?
Not really. I was actually brutally sick again at this tribal council. I was vomiting and everything just before it. So I managed to scrape through. I was just looking to get through that, if I'm honest. Caroline's unfortunately didn't do enough to earn mine or anyone's vote for that matter. Even when I'd left, I sort of said to her what have you done, and she thought that her finding the idol and playing it incorrectly was the big move, but Ferris was a clear winner, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It is.
A few times, I don't have anything bad to say about Caroline. She obviously got a bit of the villain edit, but I got along with her really, really well. And although I think if she was standing up against anyone else apart from Ferris in that scenario, she probably gets, and Bar Kirby actually, she probably gets at least a couple of votes.
Yeah, good on her. Okay, let's get into what's it been like since the game, because you've had this story that you can't tell anyone for so long. Like, what was that like?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but I went back to Perth after Survivor, and I had 8 days there. My girlfriend was in Europe and surprised me in Perth, so she flew all the way for 8 days to come to Perth and see me after the show, which was amazing. It was a big surprise, and we had a very cute video that we're probably going to post soon. And then after 8 days, I had already booked in this massive hike in Nepal. So I flew to Nepal 8 days after that and had 32 days in Nepal climbing 3 6,000 meter peaks. One of them was nearly 7,000 meters, and it's like looking directly at Mount Everest. And that was crazy, man. Like, Survivor was unbelievably difficult, but this, the third mountain that we climbed was just the hardest thing I've done in my life by far. And I did it coming off the back of living on a beach for 45 days. So I did that trip with Lockie as well. And those boys, the five boys, had all been training for this mountain. And I was the only one that made it to the top of the mountain. Everyone else had to turn back. So I think the Survivor, being able to deal with the uncomfortableness, probably was a better training than the actual altitude stuff that they had been doing. So
that's
that was a really, really proud moment, considering I'd like, you know, I was malnourished and hadn't trained for it at all. To go and do that 3 6,000 meter peaks was a huge moment in my life and one that I'll never, ever forget. So I didn't really think about Survivor much apart from sharing some stories with the boys that I was really close with.
Yeah.
And then after the mountain, that's when I got to meet my girlfriend in the Caribbean, and I got some relaxed time then. So I started working on a little bit of an online thing, little business there, and then caught up with her and we got to spend some time together, which was really nice. And then obviously I kept the secret from everyone back in Australia, all my mates in London. And that was a really fun moment being able to promote it when it finally came out in Christmas time, I think. Yeah.
That's so cool, man. That's really cool. That's an awesome story. It's crazy how you did something even cooler than Survivor after Survivor.
And when I was posting all that throughout October, November, like everyone was like, this is crazy. And no one had seen that I'd just done Survivor, and that people still don't realize that I'd just done it just before it. So yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a very hectic 3 months in my life. Very hectic.
Do you want to trade lives? You got it going on, man.
I would happily trade if you want, but I would not recommend the hike that I did. It was so far out of my league, and if I had my time again, I would definitely wouldn't do it. Like, it was way too hard. You can check out some of the stuff on my Instagram if you haven't seen it yet.
I will. I haven't seen it. I'm not really a social media person, but I'll get onto it and I'll have a look just for you, mate. That's cool. Can I ask a little bit about your mental state coming? Yeah. So and how you've sort of handled it all. Like, have you had downs, overthinking certain things, anything like that coming out?
Overthinking is a part of not just life in Survivor, but I think in life as general. And definitely there's been lots and lots of moments of overthinking leading up to the start of it. You don't know how you're going to be perceived. I also overthought the whole cuddle crew thing, because, you know, you're out there and you're cold, and we end up just in an alliance, and that's just who we ended up cuddling with.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing. There was an article come out about my girlfriend. So that was tough, but at the same time, like, I know who I am, and there was nothing happening between me and Peter, so I was more than happy to explain that to her. But there was definitely overthinking of like, oh my god, what is Australia going to think of me and stuff like that. Other than that, what else? Oh, I overthought the letters thing. I really thought that I was going to be painted in a good light there, and I just didn't. But like, they've got like the psychologist, like, He rings you and stuff like that, and it's really good. That's not sick. Kelly, the psychologist, which is nice.
It's not Kelly.
Not Kel. Yeah.
What are your biggest what ifs?
Ooh, controllable what ifs, or
controllable what ifs, like sliding door moments that maybe you just made the decision and you did it wrong.
Oh, what if the biggest one's the spa? If I took the boys? Yeah, that's definitely the hands down the biggest one. That game changes so much if I just bring the boys, I think. What if I beat Rihanna in that immunity challenge?
That's enough. That's enough. Let's not get too far into it. Otherwise, we'll just start you down a spiral.
Yeah.
Are you relieved this is all over? Because realistically, like, this is probably the last interview you're going to do on this.
Yeah. I am relieved. It's been like, since I probably applied, it's probably been just about a year now, and it's been a crazy wild journey. But I am very much relieved to just move on with life now, and hopefully get called back for another stint. But at the same time, like, if that doesn't happen, I'm already living the dream life, man. I'm living an absolute blessed life, and I'm very grateful. So yeah, relieved is definitely an adjective of how I would describe it.
Fuck yeah. My next question was going to be, would you play again? But we've sort of already answered that. So that's all I got. That's it. Dude, that is 43 pages of questions.
That's unbelievable work from you, Tim. That's huge, mate.
They're 43 pages, but it's like small pages.
Doesn't matter, mate. It's credit where credit's due. I came into this just winging it without any notes.
43 pages of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it was entertaining enough. I hope you're not disappointed.
Dude, even if no one else likes it, I fucking had a great night. Thanks, man. No, I really appreciate the time that you've given to us and then just giving us your, giving us yourself to this podcast. Like, it means a lot to us because this is my first official deep dive. So,
oh, well, I'm glad, mate. I'm very, very glad to be the first one. And I hope
I popped my cherry.
popped your deep dive cherry.
Yeah, bro. Alex, this has been long, but so much fun. I have had a great time with you here tonight. Dude, where can people find you? What should people be doing when they hear this?
Thanks, mate. I've really enjoyed this as well. It's been epic. It has been long, but I've absolutely loved every minute of it. Thank you so much. You can probably find me most active on Instagram. So happy to reply to any DMs that I get in there or Twitter. I'm actually pretty active on Twitter now as well. But please, if you can, guys, please donate to the McGrath Foundation. You can do that either through their website or if you would like to support me as well, then jump on to Cameo. Happy to make a personalized video for you guys. 50% of all proceeds from that go to the McGrath Foundation anyway. So you'll be helping out with breast cancer and supporting young Alex.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So I really appreciate that, mate. Thank you so much for this. It's been epic. Really appreciate it.
Dude, what's next? What's the next big challenge for Alex? Like, have you got another mountain in your sights?
I don't think it's going to be any high altitude stuff just yet. I do have Everest on my list and the Seven Summits, but that's probably going to be just a few years down the track. But I am now really getting to Ironmans. So Mr. Zaharakis, David Zaharakis from last year's Heroes vs. Villains is doing the Ironmans at the moment. And we've had a little contact and I'm seeing it. I'm just like, far out. That's something that I want to do. So yeah, I think it's like 11 hours of exercise, but that's probably the next one that I want to get done is an Ironman.
Cool. Well, I wish you luck with that. And just thank you for your time tonight, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Buckles, it's been awesome, mate. I really, really appreciate it. It's been sick. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you guys for listening. Just remember, hit us up on Facebook at Survivor Buffs Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. And, of course, on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. I've been Buckles. He's been Alex. Kelly's not here. Thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thanks, Buckles. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.